I'd like to call us to order January 10th, 2023, Planning and Zoning Special Commission meeting to order. Ms. Ancona, can I please have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Clark?
Present.
Commissioner Nichols?
Here.
Commissioner Outlaw Ryan?
Present.
Commissioner Posey?
Present.
Commissioner Sturman?
Present.
And Vice Chair Harrington?
Present. Now we would like to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. Would you join me, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome and good evening. Thank you for joining us tonight, and welcome to our newest commissioner, Anna Clark. Thank you. Welcome. We're happy to have you here. Looking forward to working with you as a commissioner. I'd now like to review our few housekeeping items. The restroom is right out these doors here to the right. There's drinking fountains and bathrooms right out there. There are no public hearing agenda items tonight. If you'd like to wish to address the commission during the call to audience, please fill out a blue card on the black table over there and hand those to Ms. Ancona. And let's move on to the call of audience.
Well, one clarification, Mr. Chair. We have a number of public hearing items on the agenda tonight.
I'm sorry. A correction on that one. There's a few items here. Absolutely. Sorry about that. Let's go ahead and do... call of audience. At this time, let's see. Let's do a call of audience. First, we'll do Farah. Anthony Farah. After that, next we'll do David DeVert. If you're here, you'll be next after that.
Hi. My name is Anthony Ferrara. I'm a member of, I'm a resident of Oro Valley. Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair, Commissioners. Thank you for your service to Oro Valley. I wanted to bring up, speak in opposition to the potential rezone of the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene, which I think is going to be on the agenda in a couple weeks. If the last month and a half is any indication of how it is going to affect the quality of life of the neighborhood and my particular house, the enjoyment of my particular house, I just wanted to raise a couple of issues and bring them to your attention. On November 28th, I was enjoying watching the first half of a Monday night football game, and I was disturbed by very loud music coming from the church inside my house. I could hear it again watching the first half of Indianapolis versus the Pittsburgh Steelers, and in my house, I could hear the music coming from the church. A week later, there was an event at the church where there were floodlights. They were running kind of a holiday event, and there were floodlights on the property that they own that I am adjacent to, and I was in my bedroom, and the floodlights was casting a shadow from those lights in my own bedroom, in my house. So, again, the proposed rezone, the activities, the commercial activities in a residential area are going to certainly affect the enjoyment of my home. They have already affected the enjoyment of my home and would do permanent and irreparable harm to the greater neighborhood. So please oppose the rezone when it comes before you. Thank you.
David DeVere.
My name is David Divert, and I'm an Oro Valley resident. I live on Calle Concordia. My wife and I attended the December 6th meeting on the proposed sports complex by Oro Valley Church of Nazarene and the rezoning. And at that point, there was a number of points brought up. including traffic study, lighting, noise, hours of operation, conditions that they would abide by in commercial venture. First of all, the traffic study covered 3 days, which is not representative of the real traffic there. The church has activities almost every night. They have activities during the day quite often. The traffic study doesn't consider noise, doesn't consider the speed of people on the driving down there, and other things that should really be considered. Lighting, there was much discussion about the lighting on the proposed field, but there's other lighting that should be considered. The parking lots, the vehicle lights, other exterior lights, so there's a lot of other issues about lights. Noise, the presenter said they were going to put an 8-foot wall around the field. Well, that doesn't stop any noise. That's not a practical solution. And it also doesn't consider the noise from the crowds and the amphitheater that they proposed and other noise, including the ancillary type noises when they're using their blower, leaf blowers to clean the parking lots and those other kind of noise. Hours of operation, they want to operate up to 10 o'clock at night, which will probably go over that. And back in 2019, the planning and city council approved the storage facility up on Calle Concordia in Oregon for rezoning. And the big consideration was the effect on the swimming facility, the aquatic center, and the several houses on Calle Concordia. And at that time, in order to get the rezoning, they were required to not go past 7:30 at night for their activities. And those activities are a lot less than what the proposed sports complex would be, and certainly later at night. Plus the traffic on Orgo, there's only one entrance to that storage place. So it would be unacceptable for them to operate that late at night. And then the safety issue on the road too, because there's more accidents going to happen at night. And then conditions, that they said they would do certain things. Well, based on the past, they haven't done what they're supposed to do. They haven't honored the buffer zone. Whenever they got their put their last addition, they park on the right-of-way. They've taken over the right-of-way on Calle Concordia to run their golf carts up and down between the two buildings. And at that time, they when they occupied their newest facility, they weren't in compliance with the fire code for maximum occupancy. And I talked to the city compliance people, and they said, well, they couldn't do anything. They should have never got the occupancy. But I finally went to the fire department, and they finally put some signs up, but they're still not what they should be. In other words, church thinks they can do whatever they want. And the last item is the commercial venture. They charge a fee per participant of $100, and they supposedly hand out some scholarships, but that's on the need. And looking at the Upward Sports and other churches, they charge between $70 and $120 per participant. And according to the Harvard Business Review, more and more nonprofits are going towards commercial type activities to help fund their programs, and also so they can use the money whichever way they want. And just to quote this out of the Harvard Business Review, it says a social enterprise is commercial to the extent that it operates like a business and how it acquires its resources and distributes its goods and services. Well, there's no doubt this is a commercial enterprise, the sports complex. And the bottom line is that the property is currently zoned for agriculture and residential that they want to rezone. It should stay that way. And if nothing else, it should be open space. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So, Chair Harrington, just to clarify, we're having a little bit of an issue with the timer. So if you want to look our way, we can let you know when the 3 minutes is up.
Thank you for the clarification. Next, we'll have Anna Young. And also behind that will be Vicky Taris. And, of course, if you have the same comments, you can also say ditto or I agree with the next person or last person. Anna Young.
Good evening. My name is Ann Young. I'm a resident of Oro Valley. I have my assistant here to help me. We passed out a picture of my home, my backyard, with the 70-foot poles right behind my house. This is my view right now. And I just wanted to show, I ran out of color ink on my computer, so I couldn't make copies of this one. But I want you to see my view now and my view that it will be after those black 70-foot light poles are put up. And it's not, like my artist told me, my expert, said it's not, what would you call it? The artwork is not, it is as best we could do with the information we have on what my property will look like, with a lot of expertise involved. I am against this project wholeheartedly. It's been 2 years that we became aware of what the church planned to do. I've aged about 6 years. That's how much it's affecting me. Now, that's not just my house, and that's not the only thing I'm against. It's all the other things that people have brought up that I'm against. But this is how you can visually see it will affect my home and my view. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Vicky Terrace, and I am a resident of Oro Valley. But tonight I'm actually speaking on behalf of another resident of Oro Valley. Her name is Linda Frew, and she was unable to make it tonight, so she wrote a letter. I realize that the commissioner and staff have probably heard it all the complaints and concerns of the neighbors regarding this proposed rezone. I would simply like to reiterate a few points. A formal protest of all adjacent property owners has been received by the town, the major complaint being the intensity of the uses and the negative impacts this project will have on a well-established, low-density residential neighborhood, for example, the traffic, lighting, parking, noise, and etc. The applicant maintains that because CDO exists, the OVCN project is compatible with the neighborhood. I point out that neither the neighbors nor the town had any say in how or where the school developed. The school operates 9 to 10 months out of the year with classes 5 days a week, and there are some regular nighttime activities. By comparison, the church states that their proposed use will be up to 10,000 hours per year. So it is easy enough to conclude that the intensity of the new church's facilities and its hours of operation will far exceed what the neighbors presently deal with from the school. Why make it worse? Based on this fact alone, I do not believe the commission could possibly conclude that this project could or should be approved with a finding that it is compatible with its surroundings. The church has a 10-year plan for expansion far beyond its current property boundaries. Now is the time to curtail any further development of the Calle Concordia, Calle Buena Vista church site and to prevent further spread. Other churches, such as Casas Adobes Baptist Church, satisfied its perceived need for expansion by selecting a new site where its activities would be less impactful to their neighbors. Clearly, OVCN, which began as a single Santa Fe-style structure that complied with the R144 zoning and assimilated fairly well into the neighborhood, has outgrown the neighborhood. It needs to be relocated or its current plan abandoned. If this rezoning is approved, OVCN will be on its way to becoming a megachurch not suitable for its current location by any stretch of the imagination. The 14 adjacent property owners as well as the majority of the residents in the area, are adamantly opposed to this quality of life destroying expansion of the OVCN church. And as well, we urge the commission to send a recommendation to for denial to the council. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Next, we have Tim Taras. And then right behind that, we have Doug Dalby.
I'm related to her. Mr. Vice Chairman, Board Commission members, thank you for letting me speak. My name is Tim Terrace. I'm an Oro Valley resident. I live directly across the street to the west from the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene, and I'm here to oppose their plan to get R-144 rezoned to a pad. By definition, one of the principal purposes of zoning is to protect property owners from harmful effects that may arise when incompatible land use exists within the same neighborhood. Our zoning codes were developed for the purpose of promoting and protecting public health, safety, peace, comfort, convenience, and the general welfare of the citizens of the town of Oro Valley. This entire project is for the benefit of the applicant and not for the neighborhood. Less than five of the applicant members or staff live within a mile of the property. This is a place where we live and they visit. 100% of the adjoining property owners are against the rezone and have filed a written protest. Affected residents have been in their home 30, 40, and in one case, over 50 years. Professional estimates indicate millions of dollars in lost residential real estate value if built. This proposal ignores decades of neighborhood investment in their homes and the community. The proposed project provides no revenue to the town, but does require years of infrastructure support by the town. The applicant has stated future plans that far exceed the current proposal in cost, real estate, and impact. The applicant acquired the property knowing it was zoned residential. The neighborhood for miles around is residential. The best possible solution is for it to remain residential. This proposal brings neighbors, several over 80 years old, to this and other town forums repeatedly to protect lifetime investments. Please do not allow permanent and catastrophic damage to come to this Oro Valley historic neighborhood. We all support kids and sports, but this project can be built in a compatible location, not in a neighborhood at the expense of the taxpayers, the voters, and the residents. Thank you very much.
Good evening, and thank you for what you do. My name is Doug Dalby. I am an Oro Valley resident. I've lived in Oro Valley for 42 years with my loving wife. And don't make the false assumption that just because we're against this Oro Valley rezoning that and the 75,000 square foot building, 70 foot lights, and a football field that we're not Christians and we don't, you know, love kids. My wife and I sent two kids to a parochial school, and we've been members of a Christian church in the neighborhood for as long as we've lived. But this is more of a commercial venture, so and it doesn't fit in the residential neighborhood. But living the American dream, it says owning your own home is one of the most important, rewarding, and expensive ventures that most people will undertake. A home is more than a roof over your head. It's a place where you go to be yourself, enjoy your family, unwind from a stressful day, plan for the future, and enjoy your many blessings, enjoying your castle. For centuries, wars have been fought by people in order to protect their homes. Even Arizona laws refer to castle doctrine and allow you to protect your home. Neighbors near Cali, Concordia, Buena Vista feel like we are engaged in a war now to protect our dreams, homes, our way of life from the proposed encroachment of the Church of the Nazarene. We did not have a problem with the church first moved into the neighborhood because they were unobtrusive and blended with the surrounding area, respecting the rural residential settings. We did not have a problem when they expanded their facilities just a few years ago. Now they are requesting a rezoning that would allow them to expand way beyond what the zoning for the area would allow and what the neighbors want to see in their neighborhood. They have become the definition of encroachment. start small, then expand, get aggressive, then try to expand more and become more aggressive. This has been demonstrated at recent events by excessive noise, lights, and traffic. You represent those rules, regulations, and processes that are in place and have stood the test of time in order to protect Oro Valley and defend the reason that it was incorporated in the first place, to protect this unique rural area from encroachment. Hopefully, you will prevent this unreasonable neighborhood growth and not allow OVCN to proceed with this encroachment. Just random thoughts that dovetail this concept. It appeared that there was an increased police presence at the last PZ meeting where the zoning request, which affects the neighbors' homes and quality of living, was the main topic, and it's interesting that both senior pastors from the church are moving into new gated communities where their homes will be more protected. So, again, I'm opposed to this rezoning proposal. This is not the correct location. I think they're probably, what they're doing is not a bad thing, but it's a bad location for what they're trying to do. So thank you.
Next we have Darlene Bacon.
Good evening. My name is Darlene Bakken, and I live at 9390 North Calle Buena Vista, Oro Valley. And I just want to say that, you know what, we are so happy with the growth of the church. That has to be first and foremost. But what we are not happy about is they've grown so much so fast that they've outgrown that particular property. And they need to look at other property or a larger plot of land that's not in our neighborhood. And I am so opposed to the rezoning.
All right, thank you. Next, we call on a council liaison for any comments.
Mr. Vice Chair, Mayor, could we first please close the call to the audience?
We'll close the call to the audience. Next, we'll call Council Liaison, Vice Mayor Barrett.
Thank you. Sorry.
There we go. Okay, thank you. It's good to see you all, and Happy New Year. We have been working on receiving an update to the work that has been accomplished on our current Your Voice, Our Future general plan. I know some of the commission members were able to tune in for that opportunity. We're looking forward to the future update to our general plan and beginning to plan our public participation process to work towards our next 10-year voter-approved general plan that Oro Valley will be producing. So we'll be looking for participation from the commission as well as the community in what that should look like. We're going to be putting out surveys and things regarding that. The town council is working towards a new strategic leadership plan, which we'll be working towards in February. And regarding planning and zoning-related cases, depending on commission's actions tonight, we will be hearing the cases that the commission is currently hearing or having before it. So thank you and appreciate it.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Barrett. I reviewed the order of business and will proceed to list the agenda. Ms. Acona, will you please read agenda item number one?
Review and approval of the December 6, 2022 regular session meeting minutes.
Vice Chair Harrington, I move to approve the December 6, 2022 meeting minutes.
All those in favor say aye.
Can we get a second first, Mr. Chair?
I second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any nays? All right. Motion approved. All right. Ms. Acona, will you read out the second agenda item?
Public hearing, discussion, and possible action on four separate items regarding a proposed office and drive-through development located at the northwest intersection of Naranja Drive and La Cañada Drive. The items include item A, conditional use permit for the drive-through; item B, reconsideration of a 2006 grading exception condition; item C, conceptual site and landscape plan; and item D, conceptual architecture for the proposed buildings.
Looks like we have staff's presentation. Ms. Oden.
All right, thank you, Vice Chair Harrington, and good evening, members of the commission. My name is Hannah Oden, and I'm a senior planner with the Town of Oro Valley. So the purpose of this case is to consider four separate but related requests for an applicant's proposal for a drive or a commercial development with office buildings and a drive-through located at the northwest intersection of the Naranja Drive and La Cañada intersection. So again, there are four separate items. So the first item, which is item A, is for a conditional use permit for the drive-through. The second item, item B, is for a reconsideration of a grading exception condition from 2006. Item C, which is the third item, is proposal for conceptual site plan and landscape plan. And the fourth and final item, item D, is for architecture. So this case is presented tonight for discussion and possible action in the form of a recommendation, as these items will ultimately be considered by Town Council. Just as a reminder to the Commission, action must be taken on items A and B before a motion can be made on items C and D. So to orient ourselves, with respect to the subject property, it's located at the northwest corner of the Naranja Drive and La Cañada Drive intersection. It's outlined in yellow on this slide. It's approximately 2.8 acres, currently vacant. There are drainage channels that exist on the north and west portions of the site. The Cañada Hill subdivision is located to the west and north. The Copper Creek subdivision is located immediately east across La Cañada Drive. The Oro Valley Public Library is located directly southeast, and the commercial development with the Brugger's Bagels is located directly south. So the subject parcel is located within the El Conquistador Planned Area Development, or you might hear me refer to it as a PAD. And this was approved in 1983 by Town Council, and it established the commercial uses on the property. So the property, as you can see on the right side of the slide, is zoned as Area D. So this allows commercial uses such as offices, retail, restaurants, just to name a few. From approximately 1986 to 1991, the site was actually used as a borrow pit for the construction of the adjacent La Cañada Drive. So essentially this resulted in two large pits on the property. So in order to bring the site back up to elevation with what we see today and actually make it buildable, a grading exception was needed, which basically allowed the property owner to fill the site with more dirt, essentially, that was allowed by code. So that was approved by Town Council in 2006 and resulting in what we see today. However, there were numerous conditions that were associated with this grading exception, specifically conditions that were aimed at mitigating impacts to the adjacent neighbors in terms of building height and screening. So one condition in particular, and we'll go over it later on in my presentation. So very briefly, this just an overview of the site plan. This is the applicant's proposal. So the applicant's proposing three office buildings, which are outlined in blue on this slide, as well as a drive-through, which is circled in yellow. So the target tenants for these buildings are medical office and a coffee shop. However, just keep in mind that these buildings can allow whatever uses are allowed by code. So those office buildings could be retail, and the drive-through doesn't necessarily have to be a coffee shop use. So the first request is for a conditional use permit. So conditional use permits, or CUPs, are required for all drive-through uses in the town and ultimately require approval from Town Council. So essentially, a CUP just provides an extra layer of review for uses that may be more impactful to neighbors. There's also opportunity for potential mitigation if that's needed. In particular, with this proposal, there's two key elements. So the first is a CUP specifically for the drive-through use. Again, that's required by the zoning code. And the second component is to reduce the 250-foot minimum distance that's required between a a drive-through, and residential properties. And that is permitted by code if certain criteria are met and ultimately would be approved by town council. So there are a number of review criteria that as staff we review for, detailed in the zoning code related to convenience uses and conditional use permits. So two that I'm going to cover in my presentation are compatibility and traffic and circulation. So the first has to do with compatibility. So this site, particularly with the drive-through, does provide a graduated intensity between the drive-through and adjacent residential uses, as well as roadways. So the site plan is shown on the right side of this slide. So the buildings to the north, as well as to the west, those do provide screening and a barrier between adjacent residences to the north and west, particularly screening those stacking lanes. 30-foot buffer yards are also provided around the entire perimeter of the site. Closest to the drive-through, those are provided along La Cañada Drive and Naranja Drive, and those include overlapping tree canopies. In particular, La Cañada Drive, which is a busier roadway, does provide a separation, a pretty significant separation from residences to the east, which sit up higher and also have retaining wall and yard walls as well. So there is that graduated intensity between uses that you can see on the site plan. There's also a 6-foot screen wall that's required around the drive-through stacking lane. That's shown with the blue line that kind of wraps around the stacking lane. So that also provides additional screening for, provides sufficient screening of vehicles to adjacent roadways. The order kiosk, which you can see, which is notated with the yellow star, kind of where that stacking lane curves, that's oriented away from neighbors, so it basically points the noise towards the intersection. A noise impact study was submitted as part of the conditional use permit application. That's been reviewed by staff to ensure that those noise levels do comply with the town zoning code. Staff is recommending a couple conditions of approval related to compatibility. So the first one is that the screen wall must be opaque, adjacent to the order kiosk. In your packets, there was a detail that shows the screen wall. Part of that screen wall has kind of a metal mesh material. So just around that curve where the order kiosk faces the roadway, in that area, that would be opaque. So essentially, the materials would just be the metal and block. The second condition is that the order kiosk may not exceed the height of the screen wall to ensure that it's not visible from those roadways. So again, the screen wall is 6 feet tall. The next item has to do with traffic. So access is proposed from both Naranja Drive and La Cañada Drive. So as you can see on the image on the right side of the slide, the circulation is that it's right in and right out on La Cañada Drive, which you can see with the arrows there. And there's full access off Naranja Drive to the south. So that means it can be a right in, you take a right out, as well as left-hand turning movements. A traffic impact statement has been submitted by the applicant as part of this application and has been reviewed by staff. Sufficient stacking has also been provided for the drive-through based on the target user. Throughout the process, staff has worked with the applicant to ensure that there's sufficient stacking, and more stacking has been added, which is reflected in the site plan that you'll see tonight. So the next component of the conditional use permit is that distance reduction from residential properties. So currently the zoning code does require a 250-foot minimum distance between the lease line of a drive-through and any property used or intended for residential purposes. However, the applicant is proposing to reduce this distance. So the distance is met to the residential properties to the west. However, the distance will be reduced to approximately 180 feet to properties to the north and approximately 130 feet to properties to the east. So I kind of went over previously the layout of the site. The drive-through is located furthest away from neighbors from the north and west at the southeast corner of the site. The placement of the office buildings do provide screening and a buffer from the stacking lanes and the drive-through use from neighbors. Again, La Cañada Drive is a busy roadway and provides a separation from neighbors to the east. And again, those neighbors do sit up significantly higher from the drive-through. However, as part of this distance reduction, there are more conditions that staff has included, which is included in attachment one of your packets. So the first is that an automatic gain control is required for the order kiosk. And essentially what this means, it's just a mechanism that so that employees can't inadvertently turn up the volume on the order kiosk. So this won't exceed noise standards required by the zoning code. The noise may also not exceed the levels that were identified in the noise impact study. The order kiosk must also be located at the location depicted in the noise impact study, which is shown on the screen here with the yellow star. And the hours of operation for the drive-thru will be limited from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m., so it will not be a 24-hour operation. The next item is a reconsideration of a grading exception condition. So I mentioned previously that there were a number of conditions associated with that 2006 grading exception. In particular, so actually we'll start with the image on this slide. So the image on the right side of the slide was the original development plan that accompanied that grading exception. It required some sort of development plan. So that's what was originally proposed. So the grading exception required, in particular, a 15-foot landscape area outside of the existing drainage channels, both to the north and west side of the site, as well as a 6-foot screen wall adjacent to residential properties. So if you look at the site plan, the largest building, which is located furthest to the west, you can see there's a loading zone at the north part of that facing neighbors. There's also pedestrian access along the back of that building facing neighbors. To the north, neighbors do have a pretty direct sight, with this plan, had a pretty direct sight or line of sight into the development. So the conditions really were in response to mitigating for those view impacts and impacts to neighbors with this development plan. So currently on the right side of the slide, this is the development plan that is proposed today. So you can see from the north, there's a lot less view directly into the site. There's no back of house activities, so no doors or walkways along the back side of the building. The loading zone has also been located more central into the site away from neighbors. So what the applicant is proposing is to remove the additional 15-foot landscape requirement. I do want to make it clear to the commission that the site still meets the buffer yard requirement, essentially utilizing the drainage channels and the existing vegetation in those channels to satisfy the buffer yard requirement. The applicant is also proposing to remove the 6-foot screen wall requirement. However, the zoning code still requires a 5-foot masonry screen wall wherever commercial development abuts residential, so as well as an overlapping tree canopy. So even with the essentially the result would just be a reduction in that screen wall in height by 1 foot. So again, the zoning code does still require that screen wall. Staff has a couple of suggested conditions of approval in attachment one related to the landscaping. So over time, you know, that drainage channel will need maintenance for stormwater. However, the drainage channel cannot be cleared in such a way or maintained in such a way that would reduce the required buffer yard plantings that's required by code, as well as a continuous tree canopy must be maintained as part of that maintenance. All right, so the next item that the applicant is requesting approval of is for a conceptual site plan and landscape plan. So the applicant is proposing 3 office buildings, which total approximately 18,000 square feet. Those are outlined in blue on the image. The drive-thru is approximately 2,055 square feet. That's outlined in yellow. Access, again, is proposed off La Cañada Drive and Naranja Drive. There will be an exterior screen wall as well as landscaping throughout the site. The site plan also has pedestrian courtyard areas and has identified public art location. 20% of the site will be retained as landscaped open space as required by code. 30-foot buffer yards are provided around the perimeter of the sites. So that's adjacent to residential properties as well as roadways, and provide overlapping tree canopies. One thing I do want to point out, particular with the drive-through, is that it's a code requirement that 50% of the site must be developed before a drive-through can be operational. So in this case, what that means is essentially 2 of the office buildings will need to be built before the drive-through can become operational. All right, the last item is architecture. So the applicant is requesting approval of architecture for the office buildings. And 2 of the office buildings on the site are the same. So the 2 front facades are shown on this slide. There's no tenant yet for the drive-through, so that architecture will be considered by the commission at a later date. The applicant has used a varied roofline, pop-outs, and covered entryways, and architectural metal to articulate these facades, which is continued on all four sides of the building. The applicant has also used a variety of materials, including stucco, metal, and CMU block. The mechanical equipment will actually be screened on all five sides. There's a detail in your packet that is from a condition of approval from the grading exception. So what this means is that it will not only be screened on all four sides, but actually be screened from the top as well for any residences that sit up higher. And the buildings are limited to 28 feet tall. This slide shows the surrounding architecture. As you can see, the surrounding architecture uses similar colors, materials, and elements to the proposed architecture. So overall, the proposed design of the office buildings is compatible with and complements the surrounding area. With these types of applications, we do review for conformance with the Your Voice, Our Future general plan. Some key goals and policies are shown on this slide with more detailed analysis included in your packets. But these goals and policies do focus on providing diverse land uses that meet the needs of the community and provide a range of services and amenities. The existing general plan land use is neighborhood commercial office, so the proposed uses and zoning do align with that land use. As I spoke about previously, we review for compatibility with the surrounding area, as well as traffic and circulation and safety, as well as conformance with zoning code standards, specifically for CUP criteria, as well as drive-through, other criteria for drive-through requirements, which includes screening, and the noise impact study is included in those requirements as well. There's been extensive public participation for this project. So an informational video was posted, and there were two neighborhood meetings that were held. The first was held back in 2019, and the most recent one was held last month. The key concerns that we heard are listed on this slide. In particular, something that we heard at the last meeting was concern over the, you know, any illumination at the back of buildings. So that would include signage and lighting. So another, I'll go over this in a couple slides, but another condition of approval that wasn't in your packets, but that staff is recommending, is that there will be no signage or lighting at the back of buildings. Again, there's no access behind buildings. So that would help mitigate any impacts to neighbors to ensure that that wouldn't happen. So in summary, the proposal has been reviewed for conformance with the zoning code criteria and the general plan. So staff recommends conditional approval of items A, B, and C, and approval of item D. So as a reminder, this is presented for discussion and possible recommendation. An action must be taken on items A and B before motion can be made on items C and D. And I just have a few more slides. There are, and we can bring these back up when the motion is made, but there are some slightly revised motions for three out of the four items. So this is the suggested motion for item A. Essentially, it just provided a little more clarification on what conditions in attachment one were relevant to the conditional use permit. This is a suggested motion for item B. Again, just a little more clarification on what conditions from attachment one apply to the grading exception waiver or the grading exception reconsideration. And this is the suggested motion for item C, which clarifies what conditions apply to the conceptual site plan. And as well as in this motion, there's language about not allowing signage and illumination at the back of buildings. So that concludes my presentation, and the applicant is also here to answer to present additional details about their proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Oden. Looks like we have Mr. Olin, Diagram and Design.
Thank you, and good evening. My name is Paul Olin, representing the property owner and developer. Staff, as usual, did a very thorough job, so I'm going to cut down on the amount of duplication and just hit a few things that I wanted to focus on that I'm not sure were mentioned, and I'm also going to go through the conditional use permit criteria because those are in your packet, but they weren't included in this in Ms. Oden's presentation. First thing I just want to point out on the site plan, Ms. Oden went through all of this in detail, but I wanted to point out a couple other things. One is where we've got the access points on Naranja and La Cañada, we're also going to be modifying the turn lanes. So there's going to be a right-hand turn lane there. Yeah, you can see that right there. And then there's an existing turn lane southbound on La Cañada that currently goes up to somewhere around there. We're going to be extending it a little more so that that right-hand turn lane will function to provide right-hand turns into this development and will continue on to provide a right-hand turn opportunity at Naranja. The other thing I just wanted to point out, because I'll reference it in the conditional use permit criteria slides, is that the 250-foot distance criteria is from the lease boundary of the drive-through establishment. As Ms. Oden mentioned, that can be a little arbitrary because some users require that the lease boundary include parking, some don't. Sometimes the lease boundary is just the building and the outdoor seating area and the menu board. So that boundary can actually flex quite a bit. We thought that it would be helpful to know how far the actual menu board, which is the source of the audio, which is in question, is from nearby residences. And so the closest residence is the one directly across La Cañada. So it's across six lanes of traffic, and it's also up about 15 feet. And from the menu board to that residence is about 255 feet. The closest one to the north is about 380 feet. It's also blocked by the restaurant itself, as well as the office building to the north. And then the closest residence to the west is 380 feet. So all of the residences are over 250 feet from the actual noise source. And we're not exactly sure where that lease boundary is going to be at this point. So just wanted to point out those couple things. The other thing I wanted to say, just in terms of the entitlement history on this site, of course, it's part of the El Conquistador PAD Village Center zoning, which allows a long list of commercial uses. Everything on this map is allowed by zoning. We just need a conditional use permit for the drive-through use. So, and in terms of the grading that occurred 15 years ago on this, so as Ms. Oden mentioned, the pits were dug to provide dirt for the La Cañada widening. The pits became a health hazard because the stagnant stormwater in there was creating mosquitoes and a town employee who's been gone for some time told me that at one point this was called the Snake Pit property, although I never ran into any. Point is, when it was filled back in, it was filling in a hole that was created for a public improvement, and the filling in was solving a public health problem. So I guess I've always thought it was a little funny that there were a bunch of conditions added to that approval, especially since the staff report also said that the point of the grading exception is to deal with the grading and that all the design considerations would come later on at this point. But here we are today asking for an amendment to one of those design-related conditions. It's a little bit of a rabbit trail, and I appreciate your patience. I'm going to clear this. Ms. Oden talked about the architecture. It is good-looking architecture, and she did a great job explaining it, so I won't go through that again. I did want to, as I mentioned, touch on the approval criteria. So I'll burn through this really quickly. Noise shall not exceed the levels required by code. Spendiarian and Associates, who's the audio, the acoustical consultant that the town actually uses, and they used to create the noise ordinance. We used them to prepare the acoustical study, provide recommendations, and demonstrate compliance. Their study has done that and included some recommendations about audio controls and things that's above my pay grade to understand. But there are things you can do to the menu board that are pretty typical in modern drive-thrus that really help to focus the sound on the desired target, which is the person sitting there 5 feet away ordering and not letting it really expand too much. Of course, there's plenty of examples of old menu boards that do a really awful job at that, and you can hear them half a mile away, but that is not what will be installed here. Odor abatement is also a requirement. Of course, there's no odors coming from the drive-through that is the actual subject of the CUP, but the restaurant that will be attached to it will, of course, comply fully with the odor abatement requirements. Visibility, Ms. Oden touched on this already. We will have an opaque screen wall. We're envisioning something that's a mix of block and a decorative metal screen so that it will look a little bit nicer, and it'll also be flanked by landscaping. So provide all of the visual screening that we need. And then also at least two of the three, maybe three, but at least two of the three of the other buildings on the project will happen at the same time or before the drive-through. So those will also provide a lot of screening, especially to the north and the west. So we have to demonstrate that the CUP won't be materially detrimental to public health, safety, welfare, etc. So noise, smoke, odor, dust, vibration, and illumination. The only thing that really is applicable on that list to drive-throughs is noise. And as I mentioned, we have a noise study and design recommendations demonstrating compliance. There's no hazard for explosion, contamination, fire, or flood associated with a drive-through. Now, unusual volume or character of traffic. So that's a kind of a broad statement there, because you've already got a commercially zoned property that is going to generate a fair amount of traffic. The traffic report confirmed that there is capacity in the nearby roadway system to handle this. It recommended turn lanes, which we'll be doing. But I also wanted to point out that any restaurant-related drive-through, be it coffee or something else, most of those trips are considered pass-by. So they're not actually adding volume to the road, because most of the people who are visiting that establishment aren't going specifically there. They're going there on their way somewhere else. So they're going to be driving on that road anyway, and they pop in for a cup of coffee and they pop out. Statistically, that's shown in the industry to be a true statement for especially coffee shops, but also a lot of restaurant drive-throughs. So doesn't really add a lot of traffic that isn't already on the road. Reasonable compatibility. Again, I mentioned we've got existing zoning that has existed on this property for as long as the adjacent residential properties have been zoned. It was all part of that master plan in the PAD, where the arterial intersections within the PAD were highlighted and planned out for commercial use. This is one of them, and that's why it does allow a lot of uses, more building height than we're proposing, things like that. Shopping centers further south on La Cañada, there at Lambert, there's a couple of drive-throughs there. They're not food-related, but there's another drive-through across the street from that and a bunch of commercials. So the point is, this commercial zoning has been shown to work well with the surrounding residential that was planned alongside it. So it's really fulfilling the master plan. This is an infill piece. We accept staff's conditions, not just about hours of operation, but everything else. We're okay with all of their proposed conditions. And there's more. We have to show that we're consistent with goals and policies. Ms. Oden actually went through these already, so I won't go through them again. They're in your packet. More general plan goals and policies that you've already read. And also hours of operation. So again, we're okay with staff's recommendation in terms of hours of operation. I would be happy to answer any questions y'all have about any of these applications, and would appreciate the opportunity to get back up here if I need to answer any concerns that are voiced. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Holden. Now we'll go ahead and open it up to the public. We have two carts here present. First, we'll start out with Steve Narnay, and then Danette Bellew.
And while you're walking up, sir, just say whether or not you're a resident, and you'll have your 3 minutes.
I am a resident of Oro Valley and a resident of the Lynx Village 15 in Cañada Hills. And I'm sorry, I didn't realize I'd be having an opportunity to speak. I thought that's what the blue card was for. But I'll just say currently several cars per day going westbound on Naranja pull into Scioto, which is the street that I live on, to make a U-turn at the intersection or to go further into the Lynx Village to complete the U-turn at Crystal Downs. The U-turns are necessary to go eastbound on Naranja to gain right-turn access into the southwest parking lot of Brugger Bagels location. No left turns are allowed into the parking lot going westbound on Naranja due to the traffic barrier that's in that retail center. The U-turn issue could be on Scioto, which is currently a problem, could be compounded further with a proposed Naranja outlet for the new complex. People wishing to exit the lot via Naranja will find it difficult to turn left, going eastbound during normal hours and especially during rush hour and school hours when traffic is backed up to Scioto, which happens almost every day. The problem will be further compounded if no left turns are allowed at that exit. Therefore, this will force people to turn right on Naranja, which will lead to more U-turns on North Scioto to go eastbound. Increased traffic into the village and across the bike and pedestrian path will result in additional safety hazards as well as stress on the privately maintained street. Just wondered if the committee has considered this issue. And I know it gets confusing in and out, left and right, but that's my comments. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Jeanette Bewley, and I'm a homeowner also in the Lynx. And some of my questions were answered during the presentation on access and egress, but I do share the same concern that the previous speaker made on access and egress from the Naranja exit, because as he spoke across from Brugger Bagels, it's very difficult to get in and out, even if you're coming from, you know, Brugger's and you want to turn right to turn left on La Cunada, it can be really difficult. So I agree with what he said. But as I was looking at the proposed architecture, I'm wondering if something was considered. We've got people whose home is at an elevation on Scioto, people whose home might be slightly at elevation at the end of Palmetto Dunes. And although they're talking about screening, these people have patios and have second floors. Are they going to be looking down the top of a building that's got air conditioning units and other things on the roof? And would the architect consider doing some kind of parapet screening so that people that are living on that side of the street who enjoy looking at the mountains don't have to see something unsightly on a building? So I'd like that to be considered if possible. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We have no more blue cards. We will go ahead and close the public hearing. Now we'd like to bring this up to the commissioners. Do you have any questions or comments for staff?
I have a question.
Commissioner Clark, you may proceed.
Just regarding the no signage on the back of the buildings, does that include the drive-through? Because what really constitutes the back of that building when there's it backs up to the street? Thank you. I'm Vice Chair Harrington. Commissioner Clark, so the intent of that condition was for no signage on the back of the office buildings facing residences.
So that would not apply then to the drive-through building?
It would not.
Thank you.
Commissioner Sternman?
Thank you, Chair. We did a site tour of this, Mr. Olin, and we were noticing exactly what was stated by one of the residents, where that the design, and if you could bring up the map showing the entrance and exit of all the about what the drive-through pattern would occur. A little, there was another one that was done.
Oh.
There. Thank you so much. What we noticed, and we were on a site tour around about 4:15 in the evening, and we noticed that the pattern is just not acceptable. what I mean by that is on Narana, if you look where that they would make a left-hand turn and a right-hand turn out, it's almost impossible to do it because of there's so much traffic at that hour. Mm-hmm. In fact, it backed up at least, I would say, a third of a mile. And the way it looks to us, or to me, the only thing you really need to consider is that they will not be able to exit out at that opening. The only way that they need to exit out is really on La Quinada, where they make a right-hand turn. Unfortunately, they have to make another right-hand turn and go down a Narada. It is just so congested there that they're just so difficult to exit out.
Sure. So I agree with the facts that you've stated. I think I would say that we have definitely looked at this. This is one of the issues that came up at our very first neighborhood meeting, a while back when that was. So drivers will follow the path of least resistance that they experience day by day, and everyone knows that it would be very difficult to make a left out here onto Naranja during rush hour. So what this will allow people to do is as you said, make a right onto La Cañada. If they're going to make a right on Naranja, that's one thing. A left is more difficult. If they're making a left on Naranja, I think one of the speakers mentioned so that they could make a southbound right onto La Cañada or access the Brugger's shopping center. So if they're trying to go southbound on La Cañada, this movement that I've highlighted in green is going to accomplish that much more easily. There was also the concern about people who currently go down to Skioto and make a U-turn. This will actually, that's so that people can get in the same spot so that they can come back around and make a southbound right on La Cañada. What this will do is allow people again. I think if there's any cut through traffic, it'll probably shift from Skioto over to this thing, and they'll just cut through here because that's a lot easier than making a U-turn. And hopefully they buy a coffee on the way through. We're also by extending these drive turn lanes, that's also going to help the overall flow in the area. So I think both of those concerns are valid, but they're both going to get better with this development because of the additional access that we're providing and another route for people to get where they want to go instead of these circuitous things that are currently happening.
All right, Mr. Kiesler, I think you have something to add to this.
Thank you, Vice Chair Harrington. Microphone. Here we go. How's that? Thank you, Vice Chair Harrington. Commission, we actually have this situation in other places in town as well. This really paints the as Mr. Olin referred to, the path of least resistance, and the two speakers that actually came up and spoke as well, we couldn't agree more. I know there was a discussion about putting a pork chop in there, a device to force right in and right out, but that would actually compound larger problems, which I think were articulated quite well by the speakers. Which causes people that want to head east, want to head south, if they leave that entrance, they're going to have to do a U-turn, and Skioto is one of the main places that they will do that U-turn, or they'll circulate through the community. Where we don't have a pork chop is because of, or let me back up a little bit. We'll put a pork chop in to control traffic, really two main reasons. One is site visibility, and whether you're upstream or downstream of a signal, or you're within the functional limits of a turn lane. So that's not the case on this. It's certainly the case to the shopping center to the south. They are actually downstream of an intersection, and if they were to make a left out, they have a site visibility with cars in the turn lane turning north. Here, you're on the upstream section of the of the intersection. So you don't have that same site visibility difficulty. You can see cars going both ways. So that's the only reason that we put some type of control there. Otherwise, we'd want to have a full access. And if we could go to the last slide of the staff presentation. I can probably articulate this a little clearer and better. Just going to that, because it's an example of an existing one we have today.
This one.
Next one. Right there. So this is the Target Shopping Center, and as you can see over by the gas station, we have this very situation where the left turn is actually upstream of the traffic signal, and through certain times of the day, you can't get across. But there's other means to get out. For this particular development, you can get out onto La Cañada if there's too much traffic. Or if you're waiting for too long because you have the unfortunate timing of being in rush hour, which we have a little different rush hour on Naranja. There's actually three. There's one in the morning, there's one mid-afternoon, and there's one in the evening. So you either have to wait to make that safe left, or you have to head right and go someplace else, or you avoid it altogether and go out onto La Cañada. So like I said, I believe that the applicant has pulled together the best as far as a public safety standpoint, an arrangement of how traffic gets in and out of this development. And where we have another example such as this at Target, it historically is not problematic. Again, it's because it is indeed upstream of the light. That's why it makes it less problematic.
Commissioner Turner, does that answer your question?
Yes.
All right. Commissioner Nichols?
Thank you, Vice Chair Harrington. Nice to see you again, Mr. Oland. I want to continue on the traffic question and maybe ask the city engineer, have you considered a U-turn lane to the west on Naranja so it doesn't infringe on the community's streets? So people could make a U-turn there.
Vice Chair Harrington, Commissioner, no, we have not.
And the reason I ask is because after the tour of that site, I've driven past that intersection several times. And I think even the right turn from La Cañada out of this shopping area onto La Cañada is not going to be that easy. And many times, you're going to be forced to make another right turn. You're not going to be able to get across the lanes. So there's going to be a significant amount of traffic that's going to be forced to be driving west on Naranja and not wanting to do that and find some way to make a U-turn. And I think the only way this works is if the road's widened and some kind of U-turn lane is put in over there.
Vice Chair Harrington, Commissioner Nichols, that's something we could certainly look at. I don't think there's enough width there in the right-of-way to be able to make that happen. I mean, it's something that we can certainly look at. But it takes quite a bit of width to be able to put the lane in and make the swing around to make it so most vehicles can get through that.
Yeah, you know, I understand that because I looked at that too, but honestly, I think we're going to create a problem here. I mean, I love what you've done. That property desperately needs development. But unless there's a better approach to traffic, I don't think I can support this.
Vice Chair, if I could just do one more plug. Like I said, we do have this in other areas, and it still functions. And the reason I chose this particular one is because the traffic patterns are about the same depth, about the same amount of traffic coming on Pushview Lane. Now, the Target Shopping Center will generate a lot more exiting traffic. And again, it historically is not an issue.
Mr. Owen?
If I could offer one more thing on that note, this project is not going to be adding a lot of volume. It is going to be adding more options for drivers. And I think the options that it's adding are going to outweigh the small amount of volume that it's going to be adding to the street system. Also, if you're trying to exit out of here and go east on Naranja, I agree with you. Nobody wants to go west So you're probably going to make a right on La Cañada, pass the intersection, make a U-turn there where there already is a U-turn opportunity, and then come up and make a right.
Yeah, but I think there are many times during the day when that's not going to be possible either. La Cañada is very busy, and trying to come out and make that right turn and then get all the way across the lanes into that left-hand lane will not be possible at many times during the day.
It's rush hour. I also wanted to add that the roof screening utility, those will be fully screened, the rooftop equipment.
All right. Any other discussion from any other council
commissioners? Thank you, Vice Chair.
Posey?
Yes, I just 100% agree with Commissioner Starman and Commissioner Nichols' concerns on the traffic. Also, if we could go back to the parking, where it showed the parking lots on here, please.
That one?
Yes, sir. Okay. I'm looking at this, and I just, because this is going to be, a coffee shop plus a restaurant. So it's going to be a restaurant and a go-through, both?
It'll be one restaurant. It'll be a coffee shop or restaurant. We're aiming for a coffee shop.
Okay, not both. Okay. I was just thinking about this parking area, and it doesn't look like there's enough parking here for people. They could go in and have a cup of coffee, but if they're going to go in and have a meal, no, probably not. And I see there's some covered parking, but I figure that's going to be for the employees, you know, that will be working in these offices. Also, I noticed I understood it was going to be medical offices, is what I thought. And now it says retail / offices. Could you clear that up for me?
Sure. So the owner's vision is to have a coffee shop and medical offices. We put these labels on here to reflect what Ms. Oden said about the zoning and what they could be. But what we're actively doing is trying to attract those users. We're talking to coffee shops. We're not talking to other restaurants. And he's working with a broker who specifically focuses on medical offices because there's a strong market for those. So that's the intent. The labels represent the additional flexibility that zoning provides, and so that's why they're labeled that way.
So it's not 100% definite that it will be medical then?
No, that's just what he wants. They're good tenants. There's a strong market for it.
Okay, thank you. And also, this is great commercial area for commercial purposes, and I'm glad after all of the about 17 years that it went without being with when they graded this area, that it to go vacant that long, to see it finally get developed is good. Thank you.
Any other commissioners have any questions?
Can I ask a question?
I'm sorry. Close of public audience is closed. Any other commissioners with any other questions, comments?
My questions have been answered. Thank you, Vice Chair.
Thank you. Do we have a motion on the floor? Any other commissioners?
Mr. Chair, just make sure we have, I believe, four motions here tonight, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. Any of the commissioners have any motions we would like to present? Either yes or no for any of these.
Commissioner Sherrington, I move to recommend denial of a conditional use permit for a proposed drive-through located on the northwest intersection of Narana Drive and La Cañada Drive, based on the findings that the traffic patterns seem very unsafe and will cause further congestion.
A second.
We have a first and second on that. Ms. Ogona, can we have a roll call on this item?
Commissioner Clark?
No.
Commissioner Nichols?
Aye.
Commissioner Outlaw Ryan?
I abstain.
Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
And Commissioner Sturman?
Aye.
And Vice Chair Harrington?
Aye.
Then the motion passes 4-1 with one abstention.
Correct. With this being said, I know we need to move forward with item A in order to go through any other motions or further conditions.
So, Vice Chair Harrington, members of the commission. So, right. So, as the recommending body, we're still making a recommendation to council one way or the other. So, yeah, please move forward with item B.
All right. Do we have a motion for item B?
Vice Chair Harrington.
Commissioner Sturman.
I move to recommend conditional approval of the reconsideration of the grading acceptance condition for a commercial development located on the northwest intersection of Naharana La Quinata Drive, subject to the grading exception waiver conditions in Attachment 1, based on the finding that the request complies with all zoning code criteria.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Item number C.
I move to recommend approval.
We're having a debate over here. You actually move to recommend denial of the conditional use permit, but to approve the recommended conditional approval of the site development and removing the condition from the grading. We would have to get recommendations probably for denial of C and D now because they can't get passed without A.
Item number C is, we still go through the motions, correct?
Correct.
Item number C, and I think Commissioner Posey.
Thank you. I move to recommend approval of the conceptual site plan and landscape plan for commercial development.
Commissioner Posey, we can't approve it if we denied the conditional use permit.
I'm sorry. Do you want me to go through the motion where we disapprove it then, or do you want to leave it?
We need to go through all of it because all of this has to go to council with all of your recommendations.
Sorry. I move to recommend denial of a conceptual site plan and landscape plan for a commercial development located at the northwest intersection of Naranja Drive and La Cañada Drive based on the finding. The traffic issue.
Do we have a second for that motion? Item C.
I'll second.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any nays?
Nay.
Vice Chair, I abstain.
One abstention, one nay. Item number D on the same item. We have a motion.
I move to recommend denial of conceptual architecture for commercial development located at the northwest intersection of Naranja Drive and La Cañada Drive, based on the finding that the hazard of traffic issues.
They don't have the right motion up on their screen right now.
Vice Chair Harrington, Commissioner Posey. So, right, so this disregard what's on the screen at the moment. For item D, it should be the suggested motion that's in your packet, if you'd like to use that.
Commissioner Poser, would you like to rephrase your motion for item D?
Yes, I would. I move to recommend denial of conceptual architecture for commercial development located at the northwest section of Naranja Drive and La Cañada based on the finding that the traffic can be a hazard.
Do we have a second on that motion?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any nays?
Nay.
Vice Chair, I abstain.
One nay, one abstention. Okay. Ms. Acona, will you please read agenda item number 3?
Public hearing, discussion, and possible action regarding a conditional use permit for a proposed self-storage and retail center located adjacent to the northwest intersection of Tangerine Road and La Cañada Drive.
Good evening, Commission. My name is Kyle. I'm a planner with the town of Oro Valley, and my item tonight is on a proposed self-storage near the northwest corner of Tangerine Road and La Cañada Drive. The purpose of this item tonight is to review a 105,756 square foot self-storage facility that includes 4,000 square feet of retail. Self-storage is a discretionary ask requiring a conditional use permit, and it must meet specific criteria per code. The commission has the option of providing a recommendation tonight, and town council will provide the ultimate decision. This site map shows the project site in blue, as well as some of the surrounding uses, including the Vistoso Gateway and Verde Ranch communities, the Oro Valley Post Office, as well as Lehman Academy and the residences at Miller Ranch. The applicant is proposing to split a 6.47-acre parcel into two. This parcel is outlined in orange, and they're proposing a self-storage use on a 2.53-acre portion of that parcel, which is shown in the below the red line. The area to the north of that red line, or above that red line, is the 3.94-acre parcel, which has the opportunity for sale, including future uses permissible by TP zoning. That could be offices or, for example, sports fields for laymen. This has been proposed as a revision to the master development plan with cohesive cross-access. This project has been rezoned from R1-144 to Technological Park back in 2007. In that image on the left, everything in gray as well as the project site in blue is that Tech Park rezoned area. In 2010, a master development plan showing offices for this Tech Park portion was approved. And in 2016, Lehman Academy was built. You can see in that revised master development plan on the right-hand side of the slide, the master development plan was again revised in 2018 to add homes to the west of this site. And the first homes there were constructed in 2020. And those are the residences at Miller Ranch. Looking to the CUP criterion, there's first health, safety, welfare, and hours of operation. This project proposes no hazardous materials can be stored in the facility. Self-storage creates no excessive illumination, noise, smoke, odor, dust, or vibration. And one of the conditions of approval is that the second and third stories of the towers shown in this image, which are on the east side of the property away from the residences, will be dark from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. Regarding the hours of operation, the self-storage will have standard office hours with an employee on site from approximately 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., and customers will be able to access their units from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. with a key or a remote. Regarding the 4,000 square feet of retail, there will be no restrictions on the hours of operation outside of the standard zoning code. Looking to the criteria of compatibility, The applicant has agreed to restrict operations in a number of ways. There will be no outdoor storage or business conducted from the storage units. Storage units will be accessed from the interior and will not be designed to be accessed from the exterior, and there will be no vehicle rental on site. Furthermore, signage on the west side of the property will not be allowed, and interior signs, ads, corporate colors, or graphics will not be visible. However, there is an exclusion for the first floor of retail and the self-storage office on the first floor. Looking to the architecture and design, the applicant has aligned this structure to minimize the view impacts to the neighbors to the west. The 4,000 square feet of retail and office are to better serve as a transition use between the commercial uses that will eventually come to the south and the other uses to the north, which could include offices as well as Lehman Academy. The structure is proposed to be 34 feet tall, where 36 feet is allowed through the existing Tech Park zoning, and there is a 20-foot buffer yard on the west side that will have larger than standard trees required as part of the conditions of approval. Staff has conditioned a requirement for faux windows on all four sides, as glare is not an issue on the west facade after site visits to other self-storage facilities with faux windows on the south and west sides in our community. Looking to the criteria of traffic volume and character, self-storage is a low traffic generating use that has low peaks separate from standard school and office hours. A signal warrant study concludes that any requirement for a traffic signal at this site is pre-existing, having been created by the school and not this proposal. In addition, several on-site and off-site improvements would help relieve pressure on existing access points used by the school. One of the improvements proposed is a spine road on the west side of the property, here on the south side of the image, where those number ones are located. Is a spine road connecting Tangerine Road to the Lehman Academy South Access Drive. Number two will be full access opening along La Cunada Drive for northbound left turns into the development south of the project. And number three is a new right-in, right-out access point north of the self-storage building. Looking to the CUP criteria of general plan conformance, the two primary elements that this project conforms with the general plan are on the policies for land use, of providing diverse land uses that meet the town's overall needs, as well as coordinating for land use and transportation in growth areas and transit and commercial corridors. Looking to public participation for this project, the first neighborhood meeting was held remotely February 10th, 2022, and the second neighborhood meeting was held on September 12th of 2022. Applicant met with the neighbors of this project multiple times to discuss their concerns and discuss design solutions, and neighbors also met with staff to discuss the process as well as their concerns. In summary, the applicant's proposal is in conformance with the CUP criteria, the zoning code, the design principles, and applicable design standards, and staff recommends approval subject to the conditions of Attachment 1. The applicant is also here tonight with a presentation of their own.
Thank you. Look like the applicant's here. Carrie Sylvan with Lazarus and Sylvan.
Thank you, Vice Chair Harrington and Commission members. My name is Carrie Sylvan with Lazarus and Sylvan, and I'm here representing the potential developer of this project. I'm going to try to do the same thing Paul did and not repeat. Staff just did a very thorough presentation. I am not going to go through the criteria. I think we did that in our application, which I know is in your packet, and staff did that in both the staff report and the presentation. So I'm going to focus more on some overall highlights of the project. I want to introduce some folks who are here. Robin Large is a senior land planner with our office. And she's here as well. Michael Sarabia has been representing the underlying owner of this since, I think, 2007, when it was master planned, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. So he's here as well. Brody Glenn is here with Centennial American Properties, which is the group that's going to be developing, hopefully, this project. I'm going to have him come up in a minute, and then Mr. Farley is also here with Lehman Academy, and I'm going to have him come up at the end for just a minute. I'm going to have Brody come up and introduce the company and himself a little bit, and then we'll go into the project.
Thank you, Kier. Thank you all for having me. I'm Brody Glenn with Centennial American Properties. I'm not from Oro Valley. I'm from South Carolina. I will say I was chairman of our city of Greenville. I'm from Greenville, South Carolina, and I was chairman of our planning commission for 12 years. I understand y'all's time and effort. Appreciate it. I know it sometimes it's a thankless job, so thanks for taking the time to do this. Our company, my dad started our company back in 1977. In our hometown of Greenville, we've done all kind of different developments from mixed-use baseball stadiums to big mixed-use projects, converting mills. But that's what we do in Greenville. On the road, until the last 3 years, we've been big retail developers. So we were one of Walgreens' largest developers in the country, and then also Trader Joe's. 3 years ago, we changed our core business just because of changes in retail and focused on self-storage. We've got 38 of these projects going throughout the country. Of that, we have 7 here in the Tucson market that we're working on. We designed this prototype. We certainly didn't know about this site, but this is a great instance of where this prototype works because there is no access directly to units from the exterior of the building. Plus, we created the vehicular pull-through so you can pull your car into the building, and therefore it gets rid of all the noise and questions there are with noise and safety and other things. Lastly, as we started digging into this project, just with my planning commission experience, I truly believe in the process of going through this. I think that it makes developments better. I think you have to kind of engage that process, and it became clear to me as we dug into it that there was a couple of things that were going on. One, there was a pre-existing condition with the traffic related to Lehman. Our use does not create much traffic, but we knew that was an issue that we were going to have to try to figure out, is there a way to solve? Also, from meeting with the neighbors and sitting in their homes and looking at their view corridors, it was clear that they had a concern about blocking their view corridors. And so we've met with the neighbors a number of times. Best case for this development, in my eyes, was to try to find a way to see if Lehman would come in with us. We could develop self-storage in the southern part of the site. We could possibly sell land to Lehman at a discount. That would be the best case scenario. 120 days ago or so, when we were here last, after those conversations with the neighbors, followed up with Mike Farley and Lehman and their team, and happy to say that we've got an agreement with them to buy the additional property if we close. And so while it's taken us a year, under the underlying property owners are ready for us to get this done. I think this is the best way to get this project done. I think long-term we'll all look back 15 years from now and be glad that we took the time to do it. So thank you all, and thank you for your time.
Thanks, Brody. So you know where the property is. I'm going to skip this slide. You also know what it's zoned because staff did a great job of letting you know it's Tech Park. It is one of the things I do want to highlight is that it does have an approved development plan. So it is planned and approved for a little over 100,000 square feet of office. So if you think about the intensity of traffic from an office use, and I'll go through this in just a minute with self-storage. Self-storage is it's a much lower intensity traffic user in an area where we know traffic is an issue. And self-storage does not actually hit the peak times of traffic, right? So when you do these traffic analyses for uses, a lot of times we're focused on the peak times, the morning and the PM peak times, because that's when our roads are the most stressed. Self-storage is people are usually not going, they're going to work. They're not going to their self-storage unit. So those traffic times are spread out. So I'll go through that in just a minute, but it's important to know that we're not talking about an unzoned piece of land that doesn't already have approvals on it. It does, and so the question then in my mind, is this a better use of the property along with the Lehman, which I'll talk about in just a minute. So staff went through the history of the property. This whole property was about 32.7 acres that was master planned back in 2007. So the idea behind it was office and tech park, commercial on the corner, and then those residences, what are now the residences at Miller Ranch over on the west side, intended to be a transition, right? So you have the major intersection, you have commercial, and then office use, and then the residences on the other side of a wash. So the other thing you'll see in the middle, and this was part of the 2007 approval, is a wash that was required to be enhanced and revegetated as part of this project, and that has occurred as the project has been developed, intended to be the buffer, right, between the newer residential and these uses. What ended up happening was in 2016, 2017, Lehman Academy came in. I think it's a gem in a lot of ways in Oro Valley as a great educational institution. The issues that I think everybody's acknowledged is the traffic, which is true of most charter schools actually in the region. Lehman is exempt from zoning. I know they've worked closely on some of the issues, including traffic, with staff. The red and yellow areas are the areas that Centennial American Properties is going to be purchasing. And again, the idea, and I'll go through this in a minute, is to locate the self-storage for the conditional use permit in that yellow area, which you'll see aligns with some of the open space adjacent to the residences at Miller Ranch between homes. And that was done in large part based on all of our meetings and the discussions that we had about the view corridors and making sure we site this appropriately. Staff mentioned this, the height of the building, the height of in the zoning that's permitted is 36 feet. The development plan did indicate 34 feet. So this is what you're seeing underneath here is the approved underlying development plan. So that's where the buildings would have been located. You can see the longer ends of some of the taller buildings that are actually parallel to the homes. And so when we show you the self-storage, you'll see the orientation is shifted. So this is the area in the kind of buff colored and blue is really the area of the conditional use permit. You'll see the blue building. Part of the reason, and I'll talk about this in a minute, which I should stop saying because I'm talking about it. The blue building is the orientation of the self-storage, and this is the project that I'm gonna talk you through right now. So the self-storage building is about 105,000 square feet. It's slightly smaller than the square footage of the building that we proposed at actually our original neighborhood meeting, which was about 111 square feet. We had been proposing the three stories and the 34 feet from the beginning. We know we've heard a lot of questions about lowering the height. One of the things that we've been working with the neighbors and explaining is there's trade-offs in the self-storage world. You can go lower, but then the loading and all of those things happen on the external of the building. Part of the reason that we are requesting the 34 feet, and again, it's not really a request, it's permitted in the zone, but the reason we're proposing it is because it does allow us that center area to internalize. So people are going to pull in to the building and all of the loading and unloading will take place, and that screens it from everything external. So there's still parking on the external for folks if they want to load or unload and then go up and organize themselves. but there's the loading and the unloading goes on in the building. And so to make that work, again, we're complying with the underlying zoning at the 34 feet. So it's not a request. I just wanted to give an explanation as to why we weren't going lower. The flex space, the retail space, is something that the town staff has asked us to provide. That space is provided in the project. We don't know yet what will go in there. That is separate from the leasing office that I think staff mentioned, so that's not encompassed in that 4,000 square feet. A couple of the operational concepts. The all storage units are accessed from the interior of the building, again, via that vehicle pull-through. so they can get into the building that way. There will be security cameras that will monitor the loading area as well as the exterior of the building and the interior of the building. The project includes about 500 square feet of the management office. The management office is intended to be staffed from about 8 a.m. until 6 p.m., 7 days a week. And then, as staff mentioned, people can access their units between 6 a.m. and 11 p.m. As we met with the neighbors next door, one of our neighbors is a retired public, either police officer or sheriff, I can't remember, or in that realm, and said nothing good ever happens after 11 p.m. Having three teenagers, I 100% agree with that. We have agreed to limit the access for anybody, any of our customers, to 11 p.m. And all activity within the interior of the building, as I said before, is kind of internalized as well as secure. The primary access to the property is from La Cañada. Staff did a great job of talking about the other access points and the alleviation that I think that'll have with Lehman, especially as the deal proceeds with Lehman, hopefully on the 4 acres to the north, that would have no buildings in that area and the access better distributed. And we can come back to that if there are some questions about that. I just want to highlight again the building orientation. So you'll see the shorter side of the building is facing the residences at Miller Ranch. And again, it's aligned with that open space area that's between the residences, as you can see. We also worked with the neighbors and literally pushed the building as close to La Cañada as we could. We still had to meet setbacks from La Cañada, landscape buffers from La Cañada, and then that's also where we're putting our required public open space. So we needed to make sure all of that fit, but we turned it and scooched it to deal with kind of the view shed corridors that Brody mentioned. I also want to touch on the setbacks because we are well exceeding the setbacks, and that was part of the scooch. The setbacks that are required in the zoning is 102 feet from the closest residential property line. We actually, to be honest, misread that the first time, and so we were measuring it from our property line, which helped a lot, and so then we did the scooch. So between both of those, us misreading the code to the benefit of the neighbors, as well as the reorienting, we are over 185 feet to over 260 feet set back from the property line of the closest residence. And again, you can see the building is actually not directly adjacent. We measured that from the corners. The homes are, it's mainly that open space area. Let me talk for a second about the traffic comparison, and we can come back to this slide if needed, but this gives you an idea, and I think this was in your report, the difference in traffic between self-storage at 100,000 square feet, the self-storage plus the retail, and that assumes the most intense retail. So I know there's some of this type of space at the self-storage at Steam Pump, and it's kind of an artist opportunity. So it doesn't have this kind of traffic, but we asked our traffic engineer to do it at the high, if it was a high intensity retail use for traffic. And then the 100,000 square feet of office, which is the approved development plan. So you can see the daily trips. And again, a trip is one way. So two trips is somebody coming and then leaving. So the office trips are over 1,000, and the self-storage takes it all the way down to 153. Where you can see the most significant change is in the AM and the PM peak times. And again, that goes back to my statement before that self-storage doesn't really have intense traffic during what we would consider the AM and PM peak times. And again, we can come back to this if you have any questions. We did work with the neighbors on the architecture. So as part of the conditional use permit, you've seen some of the design. The highest part of the buildings are actually further away from the neighbors over along La Cañada. In having the discussions with the neighbors to the west, this is the west elevation, they did have some concerns with either faux or real glass over on that side due to the west setting sun. And they did ask us to agree to do kind of a shutter look. We understand staff would prefer that they not be shutters. We are fine either way. We felt that it was important to accommodate the neighbors, and I know some of them are here. So we are happy. There's currently a condition number 3 on the approval from staff that says that we can't do the shutters, that we need to do the faux windows. We're comfortable with that condition. If this commission wants to modify that and allow the shutters based on the neighborhood requests, we're fine with that too. So we're very comfortable either way. And I'm happy to answer any questions you might have about that as well. We also agreed to more landscaping on that side of the building. This is just a kind of artist rendering, but there will be more landscaping, and you'll see that on the landscape plan. And then this is just one more piece of the architecture. Last thing I'm going to touch on is the neighborhood outreach. So we had our 2 required neighborhood meetings. Staff went through those. We had at least 2 separate meetings. We think it may have been 3. We're not sure. In the living room of one of the families that lives to the west. And we appreciated that opportunity and met with 4 of the neighbors, 2 directly to our west, and then 1 that's a little further to the west, and then 1 that's kind of to our south. And I know some of them are here this evening, and we appreciate them working with us. That is where the architectural request for the windows versus the shutters came from. These were the kinds of concerns, neighborhood concerns, that were addressed. Traffic impacts and safety. We worked with the neighbors to understand the difference in traffic relative to the approved office, because that was really important, that it feels like this is new, so it would be new traffic. But when you think about what's already approved, it's important to understand that that could come in today with a lot of additional traffic that was already planned. And what we're doing is backing, hopefully, into a use that has much less traffic. They also, as Brody alluded to, they asked us at the last neighborhood meeting, it was requested that we reach out to Lehman to talk to Lehman Academy about potentially buying at a discounted rate that additional 4 acres for no building, but for fields or something that would complement, so it wouldn't be an expansion of the school use. And Brody, as he indicated, felt he needed to continue to be doing what was better for the community, reached out, and Mr. Farley will talk about that in just a minute. And that will happen if this is approved. Compatibility with the surrounding area, the lighting, we will meet the outdoor lighting code. You hear that out of my mouth every time I come up here because we're required to, and we will. But we also, there were some concerns with the lighting on the inside of those features for storage spaces that we've all seen. And so we've agreed to turn those off at 10 p.m. And that's in the staff conditions. The views, we oriented the building, the setbacks are well exceeded, and then we're working with the neighbors on extra landscaping. The height is 2 feet below the zoning requirement, and we explained to the reasoning for the height so we could internalize that loading and unloading. And the noise was the other, and again, as people began to understand that operationally we're internalizing all of that, which is different than other self-storage uses, there was an understanding of that. Crime and security were another, and limiting the hours, because nothing good happens after 11 p.m., was something that was really important. We've agreed to that. It's in the staff conditions. And we have security, as I mentioned, cameras inside and outside as well for our customers. And obviously, this is an investment, so they're going to want to make sure that it's safe and secure for everybody who's our customers, as well as the folks who live around. with that, again, I'm not going through the criteria. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. We are respectfully requesting your recommendation to approve the conditional use permit to the mayor and town council. And what I'd like to do is ask Mr. Farley to come up for just a minute to on behalf of the Lehman Academy, and then I can either answer questions now or I can do it after the public hearing, whatever's the pleasure of the commission.
Good evening. My name is Mike Farley. I'm one of the co-founders of Lehman Academy. We hope we've been good neighbors up here since we came. You've all been very good to us. This is a great opportunity for our school because the school that we have here was the second one that we built, and we didn't buy enough land. We don't have a big enough play field for the kids, and this is an opportunity that I never thought we'd ever get to see. This guy's a real community guy, and he's offered us a price on this property that's just outstanding. He's going to help us grade it, and he's going to help pave a road that goes on the west side of the property. We'd buy their property all the way down to Tangerine, and I've talked with Paul, and he and I both agree that that will substantially help with the traffic issue that we have at the school. And so I would really, really appreciate it if you would all approve this, because we won't get this deal if this developer goes away. So thank you very much.
Just for the record.
Sure.
Just want to make sure, are you a resident of Ore Valley?
No, I'm not, unfortunately, but we've got a nice piece of property here.
Thank you. Did you have another representative?
Mr. Chair, members of the commission, I'm done unless and until you have any questions.
All right. I'd like to open this up to the public hearing. We have two blue cards here. First, we'll start with Catherine Butkus, and then we'll go to Carlos Cruz.
Thank you, Catherine Hall Butkus, 7-year full-time resident, Oro Valley. I'm kind of outgunned here, but we have currently 6 other self-storage units in Oro Valley. These are the addresses. That's one for every 6 miles, one for every 8,000 residents. Do we really need another one? I was going to make a suggestion. The church up the street, the Calvary Church, wants to put in a ball field in this residential area. The residents don't want it, which is reasonable. I was thinking perhaps they could move it 10 minutes down the street to this property at La Cañada and Tangerine. But based on slides I've seen, that might not be feasible. But I'm going to ask, please, we don't need another self-storage unit. We don't. There's got to be another reasonable solution for that property. Thank you.
Carlos Cruz.
Good evening. My name is Carlos Cruz. I apologize in advance. I'm struggling with a dry throat, so I apologize in advance. And I am a resident of Oro Valley, and I'm glad you asked that question, because it is important that if this, and I'm obviously I'm in opposition to it. These folks are they are really nice folks. I ain't gonna say these meetings, so-called meetings, I was never part of it. I was never advised. I was never the gentleman over here. I told him where I lived and come and talk to me. I told him where he was going to build his property. Well, I'm finding out I bought the premium lot out of those 27 residents. Everybody bought those properties with D.R. Horton telling us that this area had been zoned for residential, for a tech park. So I said, okay, are you sure? No, 2 stories, I can assure you. It's gone through Oro Valley, and it's been zoned only for a tech-style zone park. Okay. So I said, okay, so what do I do? Find the best property in that area. It's a premium lot. Paid a little bit more money than everybody else there. Okay? So later on, as we're living there, we're told, hey, they're going to build a two, three-story storage unit right by you. I said, what? I was told this was zoned. This has already been zoned. No, they're going to put a three-story. And talking to his neighbors without talking to me, because I would be in opposition, find out that's probably why they didn't talk to me. They're moving the properties further south, which is right directly east of my property. I mean, east of my property. I came here to Oro Valley to retire here. I'm a retired special agent. I did 32 years, and we moved to Oro Valley, me and my wife, to retire in this community because it's a safe community. It's a beautiful community. And that sold that property with that million-dollar view of the Catalina Mountains. I mean, that's what sold it. Most of the property that was there, the 27 houses. Now, you know, if you Google the area, you'll hit three or four self-storage areas from here or to my house, which is about 2 miles that way. You'll hit enough self-storage. So you, as a representative of the community, you're not denying any services to the community. You're not, because there's plenty of them. And most of them, if you see, they're in a commercial area. All of them are like Christmas trees because they have to advertise and have liabilities for their lighting. So now, only now, when I step out of my house, see a tower, that's what I'm going to call it because the elevation is above my area. I'm going to have a tower between me and those mountains.
Okay, sir. I'm sorry, 3 minutes is time.
Oh, it's 3 minutes? So can I just end with this comment? As a retired agent, all storage areas that I investigated in the past, guess what? They got precursor chemicals, drugs, narcotics, explosives. They never tell the owners that what they're brewing in there, but they're there. And now you have the Lehman School that's nearby that area that you potentially might expose those children to. Thank you. Appreciate you listening to me. Thank you.
Thank you. We have one additional card. Brian David.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for doing this meeting. I just jumped up here real quick at the end here. Yes, I'm an Oro Valley resident. I own the property. It's at Tangerine. It's right just west of where the development is. Initially, you know, I was really opposed to this whole thing, but as time went on, what I found out was it's already pre-zoned for buildings 38 foot high, I believe. They could put them anywhere that they want to in there without ever going through the town council or the advisory board to put those up without having any kind of a meeting. It's already zoned for that. They could put buildings, 100,000 square foot of buildings all along in that area, closer to the residences or wherever they wanted to. We would have no control over any of that. So we didn't want anything like that. We wanted soccer fields for Lehman. That just, you know, was always the plan there. But what we found is since they could do that, we're actually willing to accept what they're proposing here with the self-storage building, because they've been really great to work with, and they have moved the building to a different area, and they are trying to open it up for Lehman so that they can, you know, enjoy the soccer fields. And so it looks like that's a better idea to approve something that we know what it's going to be at this point, as opposed to something that could end up with buildings right next to the residences without ever having to go through council. So I approve it, and I was part of the neighborhood residents that were at many of those meetings. And the only change besides what you've said was we wanted to put the shutters on the west side because with the faux windows, we're afraid of the reflection. But we think we approve it because we think that that's probably best suited for that. And they're willing to work with us. So, excuse me. That's all I have to say about that. Okay.
All right, thank you. With no further blue cards, I'm going to close the open meeting. All right. Next, let's go ahead and move this open to the commissioners for discussion for the applicant or the town.
Yes. Thank you, Vice Chair. Thank you, Vice Chair. I'm not sure who to ask this question to, maybe Ms. Sylvan. Is there a need for another self-storage? Because we do have a lot.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner, Vice Chair, maybe soon to be Chair, and Commissioner Posey, I'm going to actually turn it over to the expert to talk about the market, and we actually have a slide for that, so I'll have him address it.
So, yeah, so we've had that discussion. It's been brought up numerous times. Most people use storage within about 2 miles of their residences, and so it's more of a Walgreens-type radius versus a Target type radius or even a grocery store. If you look here, so that's a 3 mile radius around the site. There's actually zero square footage of storage within that 3 mile radius. And so it's just the way it worked out. We look at between 2 and 3 miles, but that shows you exactly where the other storage facilities are. And to give you an idea, and it's changing every day, but it's about 12 to 13% of households have storage. The old storage facilities that were spread out, they're external accessed. Certainly those don't fit in the communities that we're all planning and wanting. I certainly wouldn't say this is walkable because most people don't carry a couch walking down the street, but it certainly is more walkable than the old prototypes.
Okay. Just from what you said just now, is this going to be commercial storage as well?
Commercial? No, it's self storage. There will be some businesses that have, but it's not a commercial like lay down kind of stuff. The largest unit will be 10 feet by 30 feet.
Okay. Is it temperature controlled?
I'm just curious. Ma'am. Completely. Okay. 100% temperature and humidity, although y'all don't have humidity.
One more question. Is there any way possible this will benefit the town of Oro Valley as far as the tax base?
So as far as the tax base goes, as far as real estate taxes go, certainly there is a large benefit. I'm sorry. I don't have those estimates with me, but it is 110,000 square foot building, roughly. Total construction cost of that building will be about $12 million.
Vice Chair Harrington, if I could just point out, some of the questions are kind of starting to go down a little bit of a rabbit hole, not necessarily germane to the CUP 8 question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Any other commissioners with any questions or discussion? Commissioner Sturman?
Yes, Chair Harrington. One of the things that I was really looking at was the hours that you're opening of this mm-hmm. building. And also, is there a way you could pull up, you know, the diagram showing that corner of the building?
Of course.
Probably, you know, from that. Thank you.
Not that one. Go back.
Okay. There we go. What I'm noticing is when you say that this is going to be open to people who have self-storage, where do you plan to have them park? I mean, where those cars are parked?
So if it's okay with you, can I flip to the site plan so I can give you an idea of where they'll park?
Okay.
So a couple things. So our parking studies show, now this is our internal parking studies show that we very seldom do we have more than 6 customers at the store at one time. 95% of those customers will use the internal pull-through. I don't think I can. If you look at the internal pull-through, I know you're looking at it on your screen. So that pull-through is 30 feet wide. And so it's designed to be able to have cars on one side, a drive aisle, and cars on the other. And so that's where 95% of the people will pull to load and unload. And then we actually have about 20 parking spaces, I believe. Yeah, on the south side and the north side for both the retail and for somebody, say, a pharmaceutical rep, somebody's coming to organize, whatever it may be, that's not going to pull in and use the loading and unloading. And then the other thing we didn't mention is that there are glass garage doors on each side of the loading area. And so the customer will be able to pull in there either with their phone or with a punch code, open the garage door, they'll pull in the building itself. The garage door will close behind them. It'll be secure out of the weather within that facility.
How did you come up with the 11 o'clock at night time frame?
How did we come up with 11 o'clock at night?
Yeah.
I mean, it was based on the conversations with the neighbors. Extra Space Storage operates all of our stores. They actually don't open on Sundays. They're really flexible with us about these kind of provisions that we need to do. As Carrie said, my dad always told me nothing good happens after midnight. I don't know who goes to store stuff after 11 o'clock or what they're storing, but certainly that's pretty easy for us to restrict. Also, all these cameras that will be not only the exterior of the building, but inside the building will be monitored 24 hours a day, 24/7 back at Extra Space's call center. So it's not like we just have cameras up. We actually have people monitoring full time.
Would you consider a 10 o'clock as your close?
Yeah. I mean, if 10 o'clock's better suited, I mean, I actually saw the lights are going to go off at 10. So it probably makes sense to cut the access off at 10, too. So I'm okay with that.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the commissioners? Any comments, concerns? Do we have a motion on the floor?
I move to recommend approval of the conditional use permit for the proposed self-storage business located northwest of Tangerine Road and La Cañada Drive, subject to the conditions in Attachment 1 with the modification of 10 p.m. rather than 11, based on finding the request complies with the review criteria in Section 22.5.A of the Zoning Code.
I second the motion.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any nays?
Vice Chair, I abstain.
Five yes, one abstention. Motion carries.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Ms. Okono, will you please read agenda item number 4?
Mr. Chair, might we request a short break? Right now, I think I'm not the only one looking for that.
We will go through a short break, 5-minute break. I'd like to reconvene your commission meeting at 8:15. Ms. Okono, will you please read agenda number 4? Agenda number 4.
Public hearing, discussion, and possible action regarding a proposed surf-through car wash located on the southwest corner of Oracle Road and Water Harvest Way within the Oro Valley Marketplace. The two items include A, conditional use permit to allow development of a drive-through car wash, case number 2201105, and B, architecture, case number 2202706.
Mr. Space?
Thank you, Vice Chair, members of the Commission, folks in the audience. My name is Michael Spaeth. I'm a principal planner with the Town of Oro Valley. As Ms. Ancona just read, our purpose tonight is for a public hearing related to a proposed car wash. Both items to consider by Commission include a conditional use permit and the proposed architecture. Both items are presented for discussion and action this evening. Just to quickly orient everyone, the subject property is approximately 1.5 acres in size and is located on the southwest corner of Water Harvest Way and Oracle Road, outlined in yellow here on the slide, and is immediately north of the In-N-Out Burger. The site is located within the southern portion of the Oro Valley Marketplace, shown on the large map on the left. that was approved in 2007. The area is in what we call the peninsula, down at the southern tip shown in blue. This area originally was approved for a gas station, restaurants, and retail that was all tied together circulation-wise. This particular site was originally approved for a gas station, as you can see on the right-hand image outlined in yellow. The most recent approvals from town council for parts of the marketplace did not affect this area of the shopping center. Item A, again, is for a conditional use permit, or CUP, for the car wash use. The Oro Valley Marketplace is zoned Rancho Vistoso Planned Area Development C2, which requires a conditional use permit for the car wash. The applicant's proposal for the car wash is approximately 5,500 square foot building with on-site stacking for 34 vehicles, and it will include outdoor covered vacuum stalls. Uses that require a conditional use permit require an extra layer of review, as they typically involve the potential to have impacts on neighbors and require extra scrutiny to ensure proper fit of the use and that appropriate mitigation has been provided. This review, as we've heard previously tonight, looks at things like protecting the health, safety, and welfare of the general public, compatibility with surrounding uses, consistency with the general plan, and hours of operation. The zoning code also establishes specific criteria for all convenience uses and car washes, something that I will provide a little bit more detail later in my presentation. So with regard to the first criterion, protecting the public health, safety, and welfare, the proposed car wash will not or is not anticipated to generate any smoke, odor, dust, vibration, or illumination hazards. The noise generated by the car wash, there was a noise study provided by the applicant that was included in your application. Part and parcel to that study was the building location and orientation so that it would limit any potential impacts to neighbors in the area. The second component of this is any hazards related to explosion, contamination, fire, or flood. Again, the proposed car wash is not expected to generate any of those hazards, and they will be required to be in conformance with all local and state building codes. Thirdly, is the unusual volume or character of traffic. The applicant has worked with staff throughout the review process to adjust and refine the site plan to be able to accommodate as much vehicle stacking on site as possible. Again, as I mentioned previously, there is space for 34 vehicles, which is well beyond the typical traffic that is expected for a surf-through car wash use. There was one condition included in Attachment 1 that is relative to traffic within the area. For those of you who have been to the In-N-Out Burger during either the afternoon rush hour or evening rush hour, you're familiar that there is some stacking that happens along that access drive or that PAL. Again, there's a picture here shown. And that stacking typically occurs where the orange dashed lines are. So staff has been concurrently working with the owners of the In-N-Out Burger restaurant as well as the owners of the Marketplace Town West to come up with a solution to that existing traffic issue. And so that's the image on the bottom of the screen where they will be purchasing some additional property to expand that right away or expand the drive-through capacity for the In-N-Out and take those vehicles off the road. So the condition requires that that design solution be approved and constructed before the car wash gets its certificate of occupancy or is open for business. So. Criterion 2 is relative to reasonable compatibility with surrounding uses. Again, the site is located within the existing Oro Valley Marketplace on a lot that was previously disturbed and is adjacent to Oracle Road, which everybody knows is a very busy arterial roadway and a state highway, in fact. So it's near the In-N-Out Burger, and there are some future retail and restaurant pads to the south. So the proposed car wash is consistent in staff's perspective with the surrounding uses. Regarding criterion 3, consistency with the goals and policies of the general plan, again, by utilizing essentially an infill opportunity by developing on a previously disturbed site within an existing shopping center. It really is consistent with some of the goals and policies relative to things like managing growth and smart growth, protecting the scenic beauty and environment. And also, it will be the car wash will be required to preserve 70% of the water used in their operations through water conservation efforts, which is required by code, but again, also speaks to consistency with those general plan policies and goals. Criterion 4 regarding hours of operation, the zoning code establishes that for car wash uses, they can only operate from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and the surf-through car wash will be consistent with that requirement as well. As I stated previously, the zoning code does establish additional criteria relative to convenience uses, which a car wash is, and car washes specifically. So the convenience use criteria regulates things like the number of uses of that type within a center, their location, their access, the timing of development. The applicant's request is consistent with each of these criteria, with one exception. The location requirement, convenience uses are required by code to be a minimum of 500 feet from any public school or park, which Catalina State Park is a public park, obviously. So the zoning code does allow the town council to approve a reduction in that when appropriate barriers exist to warrant that reduction. And so the applicant is requesting a reduction from that 500-foot requirement to 480 feet. Because of the presence of Oracle Road adjacent to the property is certainly a major barrier between the park and the proposed use. With regard to car wash criteria, it looks at things like building design and, again, water conservation, and the applicant's proposal will be consistent with those criteria as well. Item B is the building's architecture. As I stated previously, the proposed car wash is for a building of approximately 5,500 square feet with a maximum building height of 32 feet. The design that you can see on the screen here and was included in your packet includes elements like varied roof and wall planes, and it utilizes approved colors and materials from the Oro Valley Marketplace Master Architectural Design Guidelines that have been used throughout the center. Things like their desert hues, the rock veneer, and the tile roof are consistent with other buildings in the area as well. And just to prove that point, here's some pictures of surrounding architecture on those buildings. So as you can see, again, desert colors, the tile roof, and rock veneer. So in summary, the applicant's request does include two items, the conditional use permit for the car wash convenience use, and the architecture, and staff recommends conditional approval of item A and approval of item B. And just as a reminder, there are two items here, so we do require two separate motions. So thank you, Chair. That concludes my presentation, and the applicant is here to present as well if you'd prefer.
All right, Mr. David Little with WLB Group.
Good evening, members of the commission. David Little, the WLB Group, representing Surfthru. Mr. Space's presentation really covers pretty much everything. There's just a couple of items I just wanted to add on in my presentation, and then, you know, happy to answer any questions. On the site plan, one of the things Michael touched upon a little bit is really what took up the bulk of our work with town staff is trying to make sure circulation works well on the site with traffic and making it all work. As Mr. Spaeth mentioned, it was previously planned for a gas station in this area, and the current proposal with the car wash, what we worked really hard with staff is to make sure that the access island or the access into the car wash and the proposed improvements with In-N-Out's drive-through lined up well. What that allowed to have happen was there's a lot more storage in the main access drive up to Water Harvest Way. So it provided a lot more stacking distance for these two uses as well as the you know, the in and out and the co-wash, as well as the other couple of pads there to the south that'll be yet to be developed. So that was important. And then also create enough stacking on the actual site for what backs up on the actual car wash. And then one of the other things we did, if you look back on the old development plan, there's a, on the west, there's a small area, a little parking area. It's got about 12 spaces in it. That's primarily for employee parking. If you look at the previously approved development plan from 2006, that was actually an additional pad. So what we did was we scooched that pad over, so it's now south of the car wash, away from the intersection, further away from the neighbors. And it really just made circulation work better in that area. So spent a lot of time on that. I guess the other item to touch upon is the noise. Like Mr. Space said, there was a noise study done, and it meets town criteria. One of the interesting things to note in the table one of the noise study is the existing noise levels are actually a little higher than the facility itself. So when you add it together, there really isn't much difference in the noise with the road noise and the in and out and what's already there. So that certainly meets town code as it is. So the remaining slides are just really the building elevations. They're consistent with Ore Valley Marketplace guidelines. Michael's already touched upon that. So that's really all I had in addition to what he said, but happy to answer any questions.
All right. Thank you. At this time, Mr. Kona, do we have any blue cards? Open a public meeting, and then I'm going to close the public meeting. All right. For the commissioners, do you have any questions, comments, concerns about this project?
Vice Chair.
Commissioner Sturman, you may proceed.
Thank you. What I was wondering, some of the car wash places that I visited here in Tucson always have this car detailing. Do you plan to set up a car detailing section in this? I noticed the slots for employees, but...
No, they don't have car detailing.
May you come up to the mic so we can record properly? Thank you, sir.
Yeah, they don't intend to do car detailing at this location. It's just the washing.
Now, your air conditioning or your air vac systems, is that going to be on roof?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
So, I'm sorry, could you speak a little bit more into the microphone so it could be recorded?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe so.
So, because this is going to be a lower section, and I know it's the exit point, you know, for Marketplace, is there going to be technically kind of looking down on the building? So I was wondering if you plan to build parapets or covers for the venting system, the building?
Yeah, there is some parapets and covers in there. It is the grade of Oracle is about 8 feet higher than the site. So, yes, there is some screening on the roof for the materials or for the AC units and things.
Okay. Now, with the airflow or this noise that you're talking about, so is that going to be at the west? The east side of it, or it's going to be on the west end of it?
It's really, if you look at the noise, it's really on both ends, but more so on the east end than the west. So
east end?
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Vice Chair Harrington.
Any other commissioners with any comments, questions, or concerns about this project? Hearing none, do we have a motion on the floor?
Yes, Vice Chair Harrington. I move to recommend conditional approval of the proposed conditional use permit subject to the condition listed in Attachment 1 based on a finding that it's consistent with all applicable general plan and zoning code requirements.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any nays? All right. Ayes have it. Motion passed.
We need one more motion for the architecture, sir.
Yeah, I move to recommend approval of proposed architecture based on a finding it's consistent with the Oro Valley Marketplace Master Architectural Design Guidelines and all applicable zoning code requirements.
I second.
Any nays? Sir, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you. Ms. Kona, would you read item number 5?
Public hearing, discussion, and possible action regarding a revised master sign program for the property located on the west side of Oracle Road, a half mile north of First Avenue, known as Steam Pump Village.
Ms. Hayes?
Good evening. My name is Patty Hayes. I'm with the town's planning division. Let's get to our first slide here. Almost. There we are. Okay. The purpose for this case is to review the applicant's proposal for a revised master sign program for the existing Steam Pump Village Commercial Center. This specific case is related to signs only. Before I get started on this project, I wanted to take a moment and provide a little more information about master sign programs in general. The zoning code requires each commercial development to establish a set of sign standards specific to that property, which in this case has been done through a master sign program. A master sign program is evaluated with the design principles and standards of the zoning code, but it can also provide alternatives to the zoning code. These types of projects require review and recommendation by the Planning and Zoning Commission with final decision by Town Council. Once the sign program is set in place for development, building permits are issued for each individual business who installs signs at whenever they need to. Steam Pump established their sign standards in a master sign program several years ago. Today's case is to review proposed revisions to the existing master sign program. So let's get oriented as to the location of this project. The subject property, which is outlined in yellow, is located on the west side of Oracle Road, north of First Avenue. The site contains the Basis Charter School, a few restaurants, a storage facility, hotel and retail, along with an apartment complex. The site borders the CDO Wash on the west and is across the street from Honeywell. All right, so the primary driver for the proposed changes to the master sign program for Steam Pump is the size of wall signs. That's the primary driver for this revision. Wall signs are individual letters attached to the surface of the building that usually include the tenant's name, as demonstrated in the picture of Pima Federal. Wall sign sizes are based on the store frontage of each business and the distance from the road. Currently, buildings that are 300 feet from Oracle Road may have larger wall signs, but then buildings that are located closer to Oracle Road are limited to smaller wall signs. The applicant's proposed revision is to allow all buildings on the Steam Pump site to utilize the same larger wall sign allowance regardless of the distance from Oracle Road. The proposed sign increase is demonstrated in the photos on this slide showing the urgent care business. The top slide shows the current allowance for this business, which results in a 40 square foot wall sign. While the proposed increase could result in a larger wall sign, as shown on the bottom slide, which shows a 60 square foot wall sign. This specific building clearly has ample space for a larger wall sign. Staff evaluated the applicant's proposal to allow larger wall signs for all buildings on the site and proposes a condition that I'll talk about more in just a couple more slides. But first, let's look at this site and why larger signs make sense for some of the buildings. This slide is to show a comparison of two commercial centers. On the left, we have the Rooney Ranch, which most of us refer to as the Target Shopping Center. And on the right, we have Steam Pump Village. We can see there is a significant difference in the shape of these developments. The Rooney Ranch Center is a commonly seen configuration of developments with a group of buildings in the back and a group of buildings in the front and parking in the middle. This is the typical design that the sign standards of the zoning code are intended to serve. The zoning code tells us that buildings within 300 feet of the main road must use smaller signs. 300 feet is indicated by the green dotted lines. The code also tells us that buildings located further than 300 feet from the main road can have larger wall signs. Those would be the buildings behind the green line. This usually works for the typical Rooney Ranch type of commercial development. But then we look at the Steam Pump development. Because of how the CDO Wash becomes closer to Oracle Road, the site where Steam Pump is built is long and narrow. As a result, when the usual sign standards are applied that limit the size of wall signs within 300 feet of Oracle Road, we see that the middle section of buildings in the site included in, are included in that 300 foot. Excuse me. A little dry. The buildings close to Oracle Road could be fine with smaller wall signs. And the buildings behind the 300-foot line are allowed larger wall signs. But the steam pump site, there is a middle section of buildings tucked into the development further away from Oracle Road. So let's take a closer look. All right, this is the steam pump site with the same dotted green line that shows us where 300 feet is located. As I mentioned, the businesses located between 300 feet and Oracle Road are only allowed to have smaller wall signs at 1 square foot of wall sign per 1 linear foot of building frontage. Businesses located behind the dotted green lines are allowed to have 1.5 square foot per 1 linear foot of building frontage. On this site, that is the middle or second row of buildings between the blue and green lines tucked into the site. The applicant proposes a revision to the master sign program to allow all businesses on the site to utilize the larger wall sign ratio. Excuse me. However, staff assess that there really isn't any reason to increase the wall sign size allowance for the buildings in what I'm calling the front row of buildings. That includes Chili's, Denny's, Freddy's, and the gas station canopy. Those buildings are already very close to Oracle Road and have good visibility. The buildings in the back of the development, which are the Life Storage and Hotel and the school, are already allowed to have larger wall signs due to their distance from Oracle Road. Staff proposes a condition to increase the wall sign sizes for only the middle buildings, or as I have labeled, the second row of buildings behind the blue line. Those buildings are tucked deeper back in the development, and they can have visibility issues. Allowing the middle section of buildings to increase their wall sign sizes makes sense due to the narrow shape of this development and will help increase visibility for those businesses. All right, next slide. There we go. In addition to the narrow shape of steam pump, the architecture of those buildings can easily accommodate larger wall signs without being too intrusive. Staff added a condition that would limit the applicant's proposal to increase the wall sign size only for the middle row of buildings. This would mean that the buildings that are 140 feet or more from Oracle Road could use the 1.5 square foot of sign ratio, which would meet the intent of the zoning code by limiting that front row of buildings to smaller signs, but then allow the middle and back row of buildings to utilize the larger wall sign ratio. So that summarizes the primary driver for this revision. But while we were opening up the master sign program, there's a few other changes that were made. Secondly, the second revision also proposes to expand the color palette for signs in the development. Currently, colors in the sign program are limited to black, white, and 4 shades of brown. The proposed expanded color palette is to simply allow several other The color palette is similar to several other sites in town and meets the zoning code standards. There we go, sorry. And delay, there we go. The third revision is to the monument signs. Monument signs are the freestanding signs that are placed near the roadway and entrances that tell us the name of the property and the tenants within the development. To be clear, there is no change to the size, type, or quantity of these signs. This is simply a minor revision to the sign panel letters to change them from push-through letters to flat panel letters. This change meets the zoning code standards. The fourth and final revision to the master sign program is to simply clean up some obsolete, unneeded, complicated standards in an effort to make things easier to understand, all of which are code compliant. As always, we look to the general plans, goals, and policies when reviewing sign standards, and staff finds that the proposed sign criteria meets the general plan standards by emphasizing identification for the center without intrusiveness. This revision, allowing larger wall signs for the middle row of buildings and added colors, will provide better sign options for businesses to be identified while maintaining cohesive, non-intrusive signage. In summary, staff finds that the applicant's request meets the town's design principles and standards with the conditions listed in Attachment 2 of your report, and staff recommends approval with those conditions. This concludes my presentation, and the applicant is here tonight with some information of his own.
Applicant, Mr. Volk.
Thank you, Patty. It's always nice working with the town, with Michael and Patty. Patty's so responsive. I work in a lot of municipalities in the Tucson area, the metropolitan area, and Oro Valley is by far the most responsive. You actually get somebody on the other side of the phone. And Patty's always really helpful with everything and has been throughout this process. So I'm the applicant. My company's been involved with Steam Pump Village for over 20 years, mainly as a broker. We worked with the original owners to bring in all these different businesses. Sign program was put together in 2005, the original master sign program. At that time, we had our hopes and dreams for what Steam Pump Village would be. And of course, over time, that always changes based on what uses are, what the market is. So now Steam Pump Village has turned into a mixed-use development, everything from retailer restaurants to schools to apartments. It's got 3,500 feet of frontage. It's a major development, over 325,000 square feet. And in the course of development, you lay out these initial site plans. You've seen some examples tonight with the other applicants. You think you're going to build it one way. You end up having buildings that lay out differently. So throughout this process, the master sign program was changed one time in 2011 to allow Quick Trip. But the three main parts of this revision, as Patty pointed out, are to allow to recognize the character of the property and the buildings that are there and allow slightly larger signage for this middle row of buildings and the frontage buildings. And then to address the fact that the original six colors did not turn out to be viable with the development of the shopping center. And then the third part was just some cleanup items, a lot of which the staff recommended. So the first part is, as you can see on this, this is a view of a building I own from the far closest point on Oracle Road. So if you got out of your car and you stood on the edge of Oracle Road, you take this picture, and you can see, I didn't try to hide it behind the trees, it's just how it is. Farmers Insurance currently has the current one per one ratio, one square foot per linear foot. So when you have a ratio like that, it's based on the tenant's frontage. Who gets impacted most negatively? The small tenants. So the way it's set up currently is the larger tenants, the corporate tenants, not only get to have their corporate colors, but because they often have 50, 100, 200 feet of frontage, they get to have larger signs. The smaller tenants are restricted because they're smaller and they're the ones that need our help, is the local users, the local businesses. So what we're looking for is some equity, some balancing by easing the sign standards for those buildings that are closest to the street. Staff recommended that the current pads adjacent to the street don't need an adjustment, and we're willing to live with that. But as we look at re-tenanting this business, you can probably remember Interior Expressions was in there, the Children's Museum was in there, but they're both gone now, and we're putting in new tenants, hopefully. But we'd like the flexibility to have a little bit more signage for those tenants. And again, it only helps the local and the smaller tenants, and it really doesn't impact the larger tenants that much. And it also does not negatively impact the views of the mountains. Traffic travels very fast on Oracle Road. And if you're even if you're in this far right-hand lane, you try to see these signs. As you drive by, you do not see them. They're too small. So this alleviates some of that. My next sign, what do I have to do here? Oh, this?
Yes.
Yeah, this just speaks to the colors. The original six colors made sense when the design of the shopping center, the ideas for the shopping center was one way. But over time, you probably know, when you have a corporate logo, a town cannot restrict your colors. So we have multiple corporate entities in there, Quick Trip, Life Storage, Holiday Inn Express, Freddy's, Chili's, Denny's. So they were able to introduce their colors into the shopping center. So again, it's only the smaller local tenant who was not able to have a choice of colors. We were limited to that six colors. So recognizing there's this whole palette of colors already in Steam Pump Village, we're recommending just to make it cleaner and put that actual part of the sign program itself. And then the balance is just some cleanup items. I'm available to answer any questions.
All right, thank you. We will go ahead and open up to the public. And it looks like we have one card. Ms. Beth Brown, you have 3 minutes.
Hello, my name is Beth Brown. I am not a resident of Oro Valley currently, but I am looking to work in a facility here right off of Oracle Road, which is in the heart of Oro Valley. We are a locally owned and operated urgent care facility looking to serve our community. We've lived in Oro Valley prior to this, and we love this community. As Mr. Volk pointed out, the trees on the previous sign slide, that one, would directly impact the visibility from Oracle for the urgent care access. So people looking for emergent care would have a difficult time seeing our sign on that one, in particular on the top picture you can see. It is nearly completely obstructed. Even with the increase of size to the 1.5, as pointed out by Patty, it was back here, it's still relatively small, however, significantly improved. It would be the one on the bottom right. Still visible. Visibility is improved significantly by making that change. We just want it to be proportional to the size of the frontage that we have, the space that we can on the face of the building, and we would appreciate your approval.
All right. With no other blue cards, we're going to close the public meeting. All right. Any of the commissioners have any questions?
I just made a statement.
Commissioner Posey, go ahead, proceed.
Thank you, Vice Chair. I just want to make a statement that this is very well put together. It's an excellent idea. I believe this will help our businesses, and I think we should do everything we can to help our businesses.
All right. Commissioner Nichols.
Thank you, Vice Chair Harrington. I have a question for Ms. Hayes. You know, this sounds really great for this particular shopping area. How does this affect other, you know, retail areas we have in town?
Commissioner Nichols, each shopping center is supposed to establish its own set of sign standards. And so each one of our existing centers has already gone through this whole process once, and some of them did choose to go through this master sign program to allow a little bit larger wall signs or sometimes larger monument signs. So each center is very independent, very specific. So what happens here at Steam Pump is only for Steam Pump. It doesn't affect any other shopping centers.
Great. Does that answer your question? All right. Commissioner Sterner?
Thank you, Vice Chair Harrington. One of the things that I'm kind of interested in more than anything else, with this being at Steam Pump and so close to the mountain areas and so forth, and we have a dark sky ordinance, with the larger signs, how is the lighting going to be managed? Is there going to be lighting on the signs at night and also on the building? I know the monument sign, I can imagine, for a while.
Commissioner Sturman, the lighting is not proposed to change at all in this new master sign program. However, a bigger wall sign will have more lighting, but lighting is restricted to 4,400 Kelvin, which a Kelvin temperature regulates the brightness of a wall sign. So there is a limited brightness level regardless of the size. But yes, a larger sign would have more lighting in it. Actually, most of the lighting in these signs is inside the letters and shines through the front of the letters. Occasionally, some of these might choose to do halo illumination, which is just that soft lighting we see. They can do either or in this shopping center. But it shouldn't cause any kind of noticeable brightness. And also, that's one thing to note is the applicant has opted to continue to not allow signs facing the CDO wash. So there will be no illuminated signs on the backs of those buildings facing the CDO wash.
Thank you.
Any additional questions from commissioners? All right. Do we have a motion on the floor?
I move to recommend approval of the revised master sign program with the conditions in attachment 2 for the subject property based on the finding it is in conformance with the general plan and applicable design principles and standards of the zoning code.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any nays? Okay. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Ms. Okona, could you read agenda item number 6?
Discussion regarding the town's progress on implementing the Your Voice, Our Future general plan and opportunity start to participate in the next general plan update.
Ms. Sims.
Thank you, Vice Chair Harrington. Commissioners, my name is Melanie Sims. I'm our principal planner with the town of Oro Valley. So our purpose of this item is to talk about the town's progress on implementing the current Your Voice, Our Future general plan, as well as opportunities for you to get involved in the next 10-year plan. So the general plan is a community-driven, long-range document. It includes the community's vision, goals, and policies that guide town decisions as well as departments for a 10-year period. The general plan is required by state law, which establishes the topic areas, approval process, and time frame for the plan. Specifically, state law requires that the plan be updated every 10 years with or without changes. For our current general plan, there's 3 years of extensive community outreach to create the plan. This resulted in receiving thousands of comments and feedback about Oro Valley's future. And several promises were made over this 3-year period to the public that have now been captured within the general plan. This also resulted in an award-winning plan, as you can see on the screen, that was supported by 71% of the voters. Now, in addition to the general plan being a state requirement, more importantly, and to all our residents, is that the general plan gets things done. So in addition to the community's vision and goals, it includes 310 measurable and implementable actions that really help bridge that gap between policy and implementation. These actions are intended to evolve based on the community's priorities and resources. Therefore, major actions are prioritized every 2 years through the Town Council Strategic Leadership Plan. Now, staff does anticipate that there will be 2 more strategic leadership plans based on our current general plan. So, out of the 310 actions, now they involve all town departments and include all town functions, not just planning, as they do relate to public safety, water, transportation. There are 82 actions related to land use and zoning, though. To date, 95% of the total 310 actions have been completed, maintained through staff's ongoing work, or are anticipated for completion soon, many of which are in the current strategic leadership plan. As Vice Mayor Barrett stated earlier, in December, we did provide a comprehensive update on all the actions to the Town Council. So for tonight, I really want to focus on the 30 active land use and zoning actions. So these are the actions that last year were not completed or were in progress. And as you can see on the screen, of those 30 actions, 5 were completed this year, 15 are still in progress, and 10 are recommended for our future strategic leadership plan. So some notable items that were completed or are currently ongoing this year, the commission definitely may recognize some of these, and that is the ongoing work with the new owners of the Oro Valley Marketplace on their revised plans, updates to our parking requirements and the development review process, and some items that the community and the commission can look forward to this coming year is a comprehensive housing study for the town, additional code amendments to our lighting, design, and private recreation standards, as well as master planning of the town-owned Rooney Ranch parcel. And this is a parcel located on the east side of Oracle Road, just at the end of Pushview Lane. Now, there are 10 remaining actions related to land use and zoning that have yet to be evaluated, completed, or maintained. These projects are larger and more complex in nature, and they require more additional resources. So some examples are shown on the screen, and this includes supplemental plans to the Parks and Rec Master Plan, such as a Trails Master Plan and a Tree Master Plan. Code amendments to encourage neighborhood-scale growth and community gathering places, and efforts for conservation and sustainability. Again, these actions were intended to evolve over that 10-year process, so that's why we're recommending them for a future strategic leadership plan to gain additional guidance and allocate resources needed to complete them. Now, while staff continues to work on the active items in the current general plan, we're also starting to prepare for the next 10-year plan. The next general plan must be ratified by the voters in 2026, and just like before, community engagement is at the core of the general plan process. This is why the first step in the process is creating a community engagement plan to make sure that throughout the next 3 years, the process for public outreach is open, inclusive, convenient, and accessible, collaborative, has ownership with the community as their plan, and is accountable. So now it's my call to action. We really need everyone's help to make this a success. Right now, for everybody listening and in the crowd, we have a survey online at the OroValleyAZ.gov website until January 26th. It is open to all households, and multiple people in a household can take the survey of any age. The purpose of the survey is to help us identify the best ways to engage the public in the general plan process. Additionally, we are asking all commissioners to join an advisory group. The advisory group will meet 4 times throughout January and February, and will ultimately help create a communication strategy that we will present to town council for potential adoption. So if you haven't let me know yet if you're able to join the advisory group, please email me as soon as possible. Now, I do want to mention that this is just the first step, the community engagement plan. Our official kickoff with the public won't occur until later this year, which is when we really start that community outreach effort. And staff will routinely be updating the commission as we go through this effort in the general plan process, and there will be further opportunities for your involvement. So in summary, the general plan is a community-driven, long-range policy document. It includes the vision, goals, and measurable actions to make the community's vision a reality. The annual report provided tonight serves as for transparency and to deliver on the promises that were made to residents during that 3-year outreach period. Importantly, it also is a foundation for the next general plan, which again, our preparation is starting now so we can engage the community to the same extent, or if not more, than the 2016 plan. This concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. And just want to remind folks to please take the survey if they can. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sims. Does any of the commissioners have any questions or comments for Ms. Sims about our general plan?
Vice Chair Arrington.
Mr. Chairman.
You know, one of the things that I'm really, not really concerned, but I'm just saying, you know, some of us think that we know how to do public relations, and some of us think that we know how to do it because it's a marketing plan versus public relations. Do you plan to have any consultant help in this effort?
Sure. So, Vice Chair Harrington, Commissioner Sermon, yes. So we do have a consultant on board to help with the community engagement plan. They will definitely be taking some of the input from the survey as well as the feedback from the advisory group to create a complete plan at the end to present to town council.
Well, then how was the survey developed? I mean, did you go to the consultant and kind of develop the survey a little bit?
Sure.
Or is this you're on your own?
Vice Chair Harrington, Commissioner Sturman, it was definitely a collaborative effort with town staff, including our communications department, who have much more expertise than myself on surveys, and then the consultant also did provide some feedback.
Thank you.
Commissioner Clark?
Vice Chair Harrington, thank you. Ms. Sims, I just wanted to put it out there for the record, I haven't replied to you in your email, but I'm happy to serve on the advisory committee.
Thank you, Commissioner Clark.
Any additional questions? All right. Thank you, Ms. Sims. Ms. Sakona, would you please read agenda item number 7?
Election of chair for the Planning and Zoning Commission effective January 11, 2023.
Just in case there's any stumbling that may occur here, this is anyone's opportunity to nominate one of you for the chair and then have a second and then decide to vote.
I nominate Vice Chair Jake Harrington, for position of chair of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, thank you very much. Ms. Sakona, would you read action item number 8?
Election of vice chair for the Planning and Zoning Commission effective January 11, 2023.
I'd like to nominate Dan Sturman for vice chair.
I'd like to second that nomination. All in favor?
Aye.
I have it. Thank you, Mrs. Sturman. All right. Does the staff have a planning update?
Yes, Chair Harrington, I do. Thank you. Got a busy month coming up. So on January 19th, we have a neighborhood meeting for the extra space storage on Oracle is looking to expand. There will be a neighborhood meeting for that effort on January 31st, there will be a second neighborhood meeting for a proposed self-storage facility in the Mercado del Rio Shopping Center, just behind the Target Shopping Center there, north of Pushview Lane, west of Oracle. Hopefully some of you were able to attend that. Details will be sent out this week. Next month for the commission meeting, we've got the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene second public hearing is on the agenda, as well as the public meeting for the proposed architecture for that item as well. And tentatively, we have a public hearing for a re-amended conditional use permit for Caliber Collision that is redesigning some of their site, so it requires a revision to their existing conditional use permit. And then also tentatively, the conditional use permit for the Mercado del Rio self-storage facility that's having the second neighborhood meeting on the January 31st date. So busy month coming up. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn the meeting at 9:06 p.m.
Can we get a second on that?
A second.
All right. Thank you very much. Motion carried. We will adjourn.